When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello, my friends. It's time for another episode of The Best Show. That's right. It's Tuesday night, and you're listening to this in the confines of your home or car, or where else would you be? Your workplace, right? Some of you working, if you're listening live, you might be working at your toll booth or the tractor trailer you drive, or the warehouse that you sweep up. You're listening to this while sweeping up the warehouse. Or maybe you're washing out that Starbucks bathroom right now. You're on the late shift there. Generally, they close at like 10. Show starts now. Your manager's giving you the look to start, take that final hosing of the Starbucks bathroom. But look, or maybe you're in a mansion listening to it somewhere. Maybe you're fancy. I don't know. That's the beauty of The Best Show. It's for everybody, high and low, young and old. It's a big tent. Everybody's allowed in the tent. Come on in. The only thing you can't be is a hate monger. We don't want any hate mongers in the tent. So if you look around, you see a hate monger next to you, alert me. We'll bounce him. Get him out of the tent. So we have an exciting show. I am not in New Jersey. I am my exciting world tour continues. That's right. The Best Show. We did live shows last week in the West Coast, but that's not where I am now. I'm north of the border now. I'm in Toronto. I'm doing this from Toronto, and we're going to have an exciting show for you. We have Damien from Effed Up is going to be here. We're going to talk for a while, and then I think I'm going to probably end up splitting this into not like we did last week, where the show will turn into me taking calls with whoever of the usual cast of misfits is around with the Jersey crew, right? Just picture them all walking side by side, Reservoir Dog style, down the street. And now you know what Reservoir Dogs 4 would be like. The direct-to-video one with AP Mike and Dudio as a part of the gang in their black suits, walking through the streets of Bayonne, side by side. Reservoir Dogs 4. Return to the Reservoir. That's what it would be called, something like that. So we're going to have a fun show tonight. Going to get the energy up. I'm drinking a Canadian Slurpee right now. Feeling that coursing through my veins. Smartest idea this time of night? Probably not. What are you going to do? Whoever said I was smart, no one ever did. That's why I'm compelled to do this show. The thing inside me driving me to prove to all of you I've got some value. Yeah, I'm here. Look at me. Right, Ma? Top of the world. Wait, after he said that, he got shot. He said top of the world, Ma. He got like machine gunned. You know, from that Jimmy Cagney movie I never saw and never will see, that I'm only piecing together fourth hand, but acting like an expert on that one. Yeah. My friends, tonight's show is brought to you by Squarespace, and Squarespace is the easiest way to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store for you and your ideas. Squarespace features an elegant interface, beautiful templates, and incredible 24/7 customer support. You try Squarespace over at squarespace.com and enter offer code BESTSHOW at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace, build it beautiful. And now the theme will be inserted here on the count of 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Right? The best show. We're back. Theme was put right in there just like I told them to. They do what I say. That's the best part of this thing. They do what I say. Why? I don't know. But I know I'm cruising for a rebellion at some point. I know that crew, Dudio. This is the worst thing I ever did was leave, because go on these, there's a live tour thing with John Worster, the Sharpling and Worster shows touring the West Coast. Not the worst thing because of the shows. No, that was the best thing to do for that, because the shows were so much fun, and we had a lot of great people came out and saw it, and a lot of fun surprises on stage, and all sorts of just general hilarity took place. No, it was the worst thing because when the cat's away, the mouse will play, and in this case, I'm talking about mice, and these two mice, Dudio and AP Mike. I hope they're just mice, because I'm getting a feeling these two are more the cousin of the mice. You know who I'm talking about. Not going to say it, but it was on the windowsill of the Departed, the final scene, in case anybody missed the symbolism on that. Yeah, Martin Scorsese might have hit that one a little too hard, admittedly. What if we got a rat on the windowsill at the end? In case anybody missed the 3.5-hour movie about rats in the, were they in the army? No, they were in the police force. The Boston police force. The rats were out. So we put a rat on the windowsill at the end, probably playing over Gimme Shelter, which apparently he purchased a 20 movie deal on that one song. What did he do with that? He paid the Rolling Stones $8 million to use it in perpetuity. It's like he got like one of those like weird things that you like take advantage of where you get like a lifetime pass to a thing and he's still using it. Like they must have been like, sure, you can use Gimme Shelter in your movie, in the rest of whatever movies make sense for you to use it for the rest of your career, use Gimme Shelter. Meanwhile, this guy's just like, yeah, well, watch this. I'm fitting it in every movie. He put it in Hugo. I think there's a scene where the robot was spinning around. It took place at the turn of the century. Got the rocket ship crashing into the moon. That first movie, he still got Gimme Shelter playing as that happened. Come on, Scorsese, shake it up. Somebody get him a different Rolling Stones album. Can somebody buy him another album other than, what is that, Let It Bleed? Nobody can go into petty cash over whatever his production company is and go get him a copy of, like, Sticky Fingers or something? Check some new songs out? What if the only record Martin Scorsese owns is this 145 of Gimme Shelter? But then again, this is the guy who put that other movie. Was it? No, it was Departed, right? Where it's like, had that song, the bone, on that's when you know it's Boston, when the Dropkick Murphys show up. When the Dropkick Murphys are there, Boston is there. That Celtic sound, right? It's like when Sons of Anarchy went to Ireland to try to rescue the one dude's baby. And then like they changed the theme to like this Celtic version of that Sons of Anarchy song. Oh boy, that was some bad TV, man. But thankfully his new show starts soon. Kurt Sutter is back with The Bastard Executioner. It'll be exciting to hear how he fits Katie Sagal singing into a show that took place 600 years ago. What's she going to be singing, Greensleeves on that thing? That show? She's going to fit that in? Oh. All right. Enough of that. What I wanted to say. So yeah, I'm just hoping the Dudio and Mike aren't scheming. Cause I got a feeling I come back, these two guys will be thick as thieves when I get back. And they'll start to squeeze me out of my own show. Squeeze me out. Man, if that happens, you know what I'll say? Fair enough. It's your nightmare now. Then I'll come back, I'll buy it back from them, pennies on the dollar. Right? Pennies on the dollar. I'll slide back in. Oh, you guys ready to sell now? Please help us. This is so hard. I don't know what we were thinking. We're sorry. Yeah. It's hard, isn't it? It's backbreaking, right? The mantle of this thing. You think I want to be up in Toronto doing this thing at 11 o'clock at night? No. I want to be asleep. You know what? This is the mission. You follow the mission. And this is what I'm committed to do to the day I keel over. I'll keel over doing a podcast. Oh, won't that be maybe then I'll make it get reviewed on Podmass. Maybe that's what it'll take. Oh, this week we review the best show. Tom Sharpling dies on this week's episode. So we will give that a write up. I don't want it. This is not me trying to beg to be in the Podmass. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. You put me in there, I'll sue you. I'll sue you guys for $8 million if you put me in there. If you want to test that and we'll see how it goes in court, then write about it. If not, then that's how that goes. As Robert Blake said, that's the name of that tune. Remember that great guy, Robert Blake? He was such a cool dude. He's free too, by the way. In case you forgot, never went to jail for all that stuff. My friends, I told you about the Squarespace before, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about it now because I mean it. You know, when it comes to this technology stuff, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know my bleep from my elbow. Try to do this stuff. I end up trying to build a website, get the, coding. I'm trying to get it going and it's not working. And then I'm begging someone to help me fix it. And next thing you know, then it's like they're helping and they're mad at me and I'm sad and mad and it's just not good. I end up paying so much more to get it done. Yeah. I don't know coding, but you know what I do know? I know that Squarespace is the place you go when you want it done right, because their setup, man, I'm telling you, it's as clean and easy as can be. You go there, whether you're trying to do a thing for a business site, a portfolio, a restaurant, or whatever else, they make the website look nice. They make it look beautiful without you breaking a sweat. Simple, powerful, and beautiful website design that looks professional, regardless of skill level, no coding required, providing you with intuitive and easy-to-use tools. They've got state-of-the-art technology to power the site, ensuring your security and stability. And you can trust on them in Squarespace, because millions of people do. And some of the most respected brands in the world use Squarespace. You can't beat the ease and simplicity. What you do is you want that 24/7 customer support? That's Squarespace you go to. $8 a month at Squarespace. You can even get a free domain if you buy Squarespace for the year. So what are you waiting for? You start a trial with no credit card required. It's $8 a month. And start building your website. And when you decide to sign up, make sure you use the offer code BESTSHOW to get 10% off your own, your first purchase and show your support for the Best Show. And we thank Squarespace for their support of the Best Show. Squarespace, build it beautiful. One more thing I want to tell you all about. You know how much I love my fantasy basketball team. Oh, I love it so much. I went to the finals 2 years in a row. 2 years in a row I went to the finals. Never could close the deal. I'm telling you, that thing takes so much work. If I got a job at a store and worked the amount of time I put into that thing right now, I'd be living in a helipad at my house. My own private helicopter, how much time I put into the fantasy sports, because I do these leagues that take all year and it's not easy, but I'm telling you, man. DraftKings.com, they've got these one-week-only contests, one-week fantasy leagues, and the fantasy football season is coming up. Your season-long team is locked in and ready for action, but you don't have to wait until week 16 for the action. You know, they ride it all the way out to January. No! You put your fantasy skills to the test starting this Sunday at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where you could kick off the season by winning $2 million. It's the biggest fantasy football contest ever. $10 million in prizes are up for grabs, including $2 million for first place and $1 million for second. I don't know if I'd take it. If I came in second, might not be worth picking up the check for me. Maybe I would. One-week fantasy sports means no season-long commitment. It's fantasy football on demand. You play where you want, when you want, and with the players you want. And you turn your love of football into a life-changing payday. You just pick your players, pile up the points, and then go pick up your cash. It's that simple. You've never experienced fantasy football like this. And it's not fantasy sports as usual. It's DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. So you hurry over to DraftKings.com. You use promo code BEST to play for free for a shot at part of the $10 million in Sunday's Millionaire Maker event. Enter BEST for free entry right now over at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Offer code BEST. So that's right. I'm in Toronto. Why am I in Toronto? Simple. I got a J-O-B job to do. And I'm doing it. Right on the heels of California. I'm right back here. I was, might as well, if I see Terminal A at Newark Airport one more, time. And it's time to upgrade Terminal A, guys. Can we add something in there? Any kind of store? Woo! No, not a terminal. You're a Terminal A fan.
Just there yesterday too, so.
Of Terminal A at Newark Airport. Yeah.
That's where we flew up, Air Canada.
You like Terminal A. You're a big Terminal A fan.
No, I'm saying add stuff.
Oh, add stuff. Oh, okay. Add stuff.
Thanksgiving Police is pretty good, though.
Out, but that's before you go through security.
No, one through security now. Tortas and stuff?
You might be at a different gate than me. I'm at the United Gate. They got nothing. The thing, what am I going to get? Another one of those weird Snickers almond Snickers that they only sell at airports? Yeah, so I'm up here doing work. A little tired, but whatever. We do what we got to do. Be back in the swing of things. We got some exciting best shows coming up for you and in the future. You know what else I got coming up in the future? That's right. Live shows. Sharpling and Worcester just finished the tour. Toured. We did the Seattle, then Portland, then San Francisco, then Los Angeles. And now people are saying, will my city be next? Will Sharpling and Worcester show up at my city next? Well, I'm going to name the next three cities. These are the final shows of 2015. I hope you're listening closely. If your city comes up, it's like when they say where the Olympics is going, except your city doesn't lose money when this happens. City number one on the list, Toronto, right where I am right now. That's right. Saturday, November 28th at the Mod Club, Sharpling and Worcester live. What about Boston? Thank you. I like that. I like this, having a studio audience. Maybe I'll start doing that. My friends, we will be playing Sunday, November 29th, Cambridge, Massachusetts at the Sinclair. That's two of the three cities. The final city announced for 2015 is, that's right, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Sunday, December 13th at Union Transfer, Sharpling and Worcester Live. Tickets go on sale Friday, September 11th at 10 a.m. You can go over to stereolaughs.com/tour, stereolaughs, LAFFS.com/tour for your tickets. And I'm telling you, we're going to have special guests at these shows. B, they're going to be super fun. C, we don't get to do many of these things. So when we're coming to your city, you better see it, because who knows when we're coming back, if we're ever coming back. And that's not a slight on your city. It's the reality of us doing this thing. And D, the shows sell out. So don't miss it. This Friday, tickets go on sale for Toronto, Boston, and Philadelphia, closing out 2015, Sharpling and Worcester style. So you go do that Friday, September 11th, 10 a.m., stereolaughs.com/tour. I'm excited to say we have in studio. In studio? We're not in the studio. We are in parts unknown. That's always when you knew a wrestler was going to win, when it's like, when one guy would be like, they'd be like, from Queens, New York, it's this one guy, right? And he just comes out and looks like a guy who would work at like a Jiffy Lube. And then the lights would dim and then music would play. And then the other guy's from Parts Unknown. Did the Parts Unknown guy ever lose to a guy from like Brooklyn?
I don't know. I think the Brooklyn Brawler had a little bit of a run, right? But I don't know if he ever faced anyone. Like, I don't think he ever lost the Ultimate Warrior, that's for sure.
Well, you tell me. Come on in here, yeah. Damien.
Thank you, Tom. This is awesome.
It's Damien from Effed Up. And yeah. So is this good here? Is this going to cover both of us?
I think it'll be good. And then we'll put it through that program, and it'll bring up my volume, and it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
That sounds good.
Tom, thank you so much. This is like, I always wanted to be face-to-face with you on the show. Never thought it would be in Zach's living room.
Yes, and thank you, Zach, for letting us do this.
No problem. Zach is the one who, Zach and I discovered the best show. Well, I think I discovered it first and brought it to you, but Zach and I were like the ones that were peeling it apart together, Zach. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
How long ago was that?
Gosh, when was that? 2002?
Yeah.
2001? Two?
Yeah. Wow, that's...
It,
That's
Kent,
early.
Kent Stevenson, who got it from Colin Geddes.
Mm-hmm.
So here's like, it's like the germ sperm. Here's mm-hmm. how it was passed down. Here's the lineage of us.
Down the line.
Yeah, down the line.
All through Toronto record stores and video stores.
Yeah, exactly.
The show passed.
Well, I think it was just like, yeah, it's right. Well, we've talked about this a lot of places now. Noisy and of course, in the essay I wrote. But, yeah, like I think it was just like, you know, people in bands calling books TIFF, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like he's involved doing the Midnight Madness for years now. So it was just kind of like, you know, people like, yeah, like people in bands, people mm-hmm. in video stores, people in record stores, like you said.
Yeah.
Sharing it.
That's awesome. And you, sir.
I've got my sublimator here. What, fired up.
What, tell me more about what that, I thought for a minute,
yeah.
I thought you were going to make us some really good coffee at first. I was like, wow, a little late for coffee, but I guess
well,
Damien loves his fancy coffee.
It's my coffee.
So
it's my coffee.
You are setting up this thing that has yep. it has a main chamber to it.
Yes.
And a side little thing there that looks like a like you would do like your like you draw your little thing in the foam on the top of it with it maybe or something.
Yeah, like it looks like a it's like a heating iron into a funnel
mm-hmm.
that goes into a down chamber, which goes into a larger plastic chamber, which has a piece of PVC hosing coming mm-hmm. off. That's
yeah.
Surgical tubing, I should say. And it's got a coaxial cable too, so it's kind of like mm-hmm. a rock instrument. But it's for ingestion of medical cannabis. I've got a medical card here in Canada,
mm-hmm.
and so I am getting this stuff through the government and. You know, it's legit.
Yeah. Well, that thing is, I don't know, that thing's legit.
This is called the sublimator. Yeah. It was invented by some guy, in Quebec named Enrico. And he is like, he was a chef and he just stumbled on this new way. And it's kind of like they say it's beyond vaporization, but it's like the best tasting way I've found to consume cannabis. It tastes mm-hmm. like it smells.
Okay.
And so, it's stronger than a normal vaporizer.
Mm-hmm. So it's not enough to just vaporize it. You need to sublimate it.
Yeah, because I like if you smoke or ingest a lot of cannabis,
uh-huh.
vaporizing just doesn't normally cut it, I find.
Okay.
And for, with a lot of people. And so, you know, I want something that's kind of like, oh, you know, a bit of a heavier kind of like ingestion way. I don't want to sit there having to suck on a vaporizer for long periods of time. So this uh-huh. is like a, you know, yeah, like Zach is, was like, kind of warning you off this, you know, in any way of going near it because he said it was would knock you out. And mm-hmm. I think, yeah, for me, for some people, it would knock them out. For me, it's perfect. But
the sublimator,
future sponsor of the best show.
Maybe. Oh, maybe jeepers. Let's see if Enrico can drum up the money. Oh, right,
that's the thing. I think that is my goal, is to one day get, you know, just cannabis sponsors for mm-hmm. the things that I do. So
sure,
you know, it's like if you can find the things that you love, like mm-hmm. Squarespace is what I use too.
Mm-hmm.
And they've never sponsored the show, but that's yeah. that's what I use, you know, because yeah. obviously the best show thing.
Yeah.
So
when you say your show,
my radio show.
Yes.
I don't want to talk too much. No, I don't want to put it over.
No, talk about it. You're here to talk.
Okay. Well, it's called Turned Out a Punk. You were on it. It mm-hmm. was, it's been a lot of fun. I've had a really awesome kind of year doing it so far. And I think, having you on was one of the highlights, and I think it was, you know, indicative of how cool punk is, you mm-hmm. know, and how many people's lives it touches.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and the fact that, you know, you were the one that kind of brought all the comedy stuff in, which is something that I found, you know, fascinating to finally mm-hmm. see where, you know, it connects to comedy, you know.
Well, the stuff runs parallel so much mm-hmm. where it just, like, it's people making the thing. It's like people find their way to express themselves, and they express themselves.
Have you seen that video that I think Henry Owings posted it from Chunklet a while ago? But it's like RuPaul. I forget what's RuPaul's non-performing name.
Like,
but
Yeah, I'm blanking. Yeah. Sure.
Anyway, but it's you know, him as a kid in like, you know, not performing in mm-hmm. drag, like in a new wave band, mm-hmm. and you know, they're interviewing this new wave band as mm-hmm. their second show, and at one point they turn to the guitarist and they're interviewing the guitarist, they're like, "Are you nervous?" And he's like, "Yeah, a little bit." And he pulls out a cigarette and like someone reaches in to light it, and it's mm-hmm. David Cross. And so it means that David Cross yeah. and RuPaul were hanging out at shows in like 82 in wow. Atlanta, or I think it's Athens.
Sure, sure, yeah. But it's like, I think that's just a point of you're looking, like, especially now everybody can find their own scene, mm-hmm. and you can find your own little camp of people that, mm-hmm. that are just like you, and there's a lot of great stuff that comes from that, but there's mm-hmm. also, there is that, something gets lost though when everybody finds their circle and doesn't go beyond their circle.
Yeah.
Because then in the 80s you have everybody who's just not, everybody who's a weirdo is just, the weirdos are just going to one side of the street and yeah. they might not even have that much in common outside of the fact that they're just not.
Hi everybody, Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
These straight people who are like, and they kind of, and then you get a lot of kind of cross-pollination going on.
Yeah.
Because people who aren't necessarily the same in terms of the subset of mm-hmm. what they're doing, but they're the same in terms of the fact that they're not just like cranking, you know, Billy Joel
yeah.
records.
Well, I don't know, like you on the episode, and it's definitely one of the best parts of the best show is when you kind of bring it up and it comes up, is where you kind of talk about how, well, not best parts mm-hmm. of the show, but one of my personal favorite parts sure. is when you bring up the fact that you were kind of tormented for wearing, you know, shirts at these punk shows
uh-huh.
that the punks didn't think were cool enough.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that would really happen today, because I think the new kind of millennials, like the mm-hmm. generation that comes up below the generation of me
yeah.
in punk rock, I think is really open-minded to so many different types of music. It's like, you know, like my friend Sam, who like used to play drums in Trash Talk, sings in this, like a bunch of different, like sings in a hardcore band called Lock, plays in this Japanese style blazing metal band, but then also mm-hmm. DJs like house music.
Sure.
And like, you know, you can do that all at once, whereas like it used to be, or I found it was definitely a thing where you would have to be like, okay, I'm leaving punk rock to go and become a techno DJ or whatever.
Yeah, that may, I agree with that too, where it just, it used to be also, I know that I was just saying that like weirdos find weirdos, and I do still, I think that's true.
Yeah.
But people were also very territorial about, like, you couldn't, I remember reading like Cream magazines, and it would be like fans of The Clash mm-hmm. arguing with fans of Led Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. Like, but now that's just all like smeared to where it's just rock music.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I like rock music. Like, what do you like? Well, I like The Clash. I like Led Zeppelin. I like all these. Like, those were definitely, you couldn't, or at least as far as some people were concerned. I think kids, like when I was a kid, I had Clash records and Led Zeppelin records, and I was surprised to see people drawing these lines between it. It's like, no, I'm just listening to rock records.
Yeah, like I definitely think, like, because I've always thought of the Clash as a rock band.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can see someone who listened to the Sex Pistols being like, arguing like, this is different, because I think that was like a break,
mm-hmm.
you know, in kind of the continuum. Whereas I think the Clash is like a rock band, and yeah, definitely, you know, like it was stylistically different, and mm-hmm. I think the clothing they was wearing were different, but it was mm-hmm. you can hear like it's rooted in rock and roll.
Yeah, but you can also even see that like that like 50s feel that mm-hmm. like the Sex Pistols mm-hmm. have in their own strange way.
It's funny that it's like when people tell the stories, they seem to draw the lines harder between like when things started or whatever. But then when you hear people, when you read people talking about being a kid in like England in 1972 or 1973, and they were finding things they were interested in. And it's like, and things like Roxy Music had weirdness that helped get them to the next place. It's not like it was just the feast or famine that it gets presented as sometimes.
No. Like you hear Dr. Feelgood's first record, and like they're like, okay, that's the Steve Jones guitar kind of like
exactly
not the exact same, but like you know,
it's exactly. But you see how that's going to get to the next place with that. But the way some people tell the story is that it's like it was just Yes and Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and then punk came. And it erased that stuff, which also isn't true at all because it's like that stuff was, I would bet that Yes made more money in 1977 and 1978 and 1979 than at any other point in their career.
Oh yeah, like it's like not like Nirvana in 92 or 91, whatever. Yeah. It's like Garth Brooks probably sold more records that year. Like there's like, you know, just, Nevermind was watershed, but.
Yeah, but it's not. It's like, the story gets like, they were scared of us. It's like, I don't even know how scared the people, because they were only like 10 years older, a lot of these. Like, if you're talking about just like the guys in Pink Floyd were somehow terrified by this punk thing, it's like they were 10 years old. So they were in there, they were like 33. When this stuff was happening, it's like, it's not like they didn't, it's not like they were 68 years old and had no idea what this new sound was. It's like they were still young guys themselves. And 10 years earlier, they were the people who were scaring people. I think people, that is like one of the things that punk does a lot is say that just like, we scared everybody. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know if everybody was as scared as you're saying it was.
I didn't think it got scary until it got to America again. You know, like obviously it starts in America and it's kind of like, it's not, you know, like if you look at the New York first wave of stuff, obviously the Dead Boys are visually kind of where it would go. And I think the Steel Tips were probably terrifying to see. Joe Coleman's band, the artist who used to like blow himself up. And
sure.
But like you know the rest of the band, it's like Talking Heads, Blondie. It's not really a terrifying vibe. But when it comes back to America and becomes like hardcore in the West Coast, and you have all these Orange County bands, I think it was scary for people because that's when the cops were trying to like you know the riots with like 800 kids.
Yeah, well, that's actually when the kids when suddenly it's not just some thing in a club where it's you know. It's easy to not get freaked out about 60 people going to see a thing.
Yeah.
But it's easy to get, when all of a sudden there's 1,100 kids going to, like you're putting on a show at a big venue and it's selling out right away. And then there's all these kids who look different.
Yeah.
And that's like, it's like, okay, well, something's going on here. And that is that Orange County thing. It's amazing to think that like California used to be like the reddest of red states and that like, because now it would, and now nobody thinks it's not even close. Like, when there was during elections, it's just like, oh, well, California is going to go to, you know, the Democrats. Yeah. But back then, it was like, that Orange County Republicans were just the.
And I guess that's the products of it were their kids, you know, like Fat Mike, you know, not to like put over the podcast again or anything, but like, when he was on the podcast, was talking about. Growing up and Jack Grisham from TSOL and like how scary he was and how, and it's like, oh yeah, well he was a product of this like probably really weird fucked up suburban. Oh, sorry.
That's all right. Sorry. Let it go.
I'm sorry.
It's your band.
yeah. That's what I'm talking about. My band effed up. You know,
that's the thing about the show now. Look, this is where I'm at with the show now. If people curse, I'm okay with it. I am not cursing on the show. I don't want people to go curse as much as they can.
So I can't use my blue material.
So keep that for your show.
Okay.
but if people slip up, I'm not on the radio anymore.
No, I know.
Because I've had people go like, somebody cursed.
cursed and you didn't yell at him like he yelled at the
it's like, yeah, I was on the radio then. What was I supposed to do? I was responsible FCC. For the FCC license. Yeah.
I one time actually when I was on Terry's show,
mm-hmm.
I was talking about piss jeans,
mm-hmm.
and she had to beat me because you can't say pissed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh wow, that's crazy. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Because it's really dumb that the line would sometimes come down to like
figurative or something.
Yes, exactly. To whether you can lose your a certain thing, it's fine, and you can say that. But you can't do that thing in your pants, for example. That would be it's so.
Oh, so you won't even say piss jeans? You'll say
I'll say piss jeans.
Yeah, well, that's like, you can't.
I don't care.
That's a great band too.
What am I gonna be?
Actually, wrestlers in that band too. Pro wrestlers.
Pro wrestlers
in piss jeans.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Chikara.
Okay.
I think early days of Chikara. I think. Brad worked a couple maybe I shouldn't give away fact that he was working. Now I've exposed his maybe secret identity or something.
What's that called in wrestling talk when you blow the lid off somebody?
Kayfabe, breaking kayfabe.
Yeah, kayfabe.
Yep.
What's that mean?
Kayfabe is like, I guess it's like old carny speak
mm-hmm.
for, or maybe carny wrestler speak.
Okay.
For like the world that they have,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, so obviously wrestling exists on two worlds. There's a world that is presented to the public,
mm-hmm.
and then there's the world that they have with each other,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's the fact that it's like predetermined matches.
Okay.
And the fact that there's some sort of collaboration between the people to get the physicality to look as real as possible.
Sure, sure.
I feel like I'm getting a chance to finally talk about wrestling.
You're doing it.
No, really, I'm doing it on the best show.
Now, what do you,
for Chris Gethard? Yeah,
you're doing it for all your guys, all beaten down by the big bully,
exactly.
who does nothing but tease wrestling fans.
Exactly.
This is honestly what I think about wrestling. To me, it's like baseball in the fact that I like every part of it except for the wrestling part.
Yes.
I like watching wrestling interviews. I could watch all day long.
Yes.
I love any of that stuff. I think is the most, that to me is the entertaining part of wrestling. And then when I watch wrestling, it's just like, I feel, I hate when people say this about basketball because that's the thing I love when they're just like, just watch the last 5 minutes of a basketball game. That's all you got to see. And I'm like, well, that's not true. That's such an insult. But then like with wrestling, sometimes I'm like, man, maybe you just watch the last 5 minutes of this thing. For this match, and then because that's when it's gonna stop with the 1-2 break, 1-2 break, right?
Yeah,
but that's a part of the rhythm. I know that's the part of the thing, but I'm just I like the characters, and I like the stories of it.
The world behind the scenes stuff is crazy.
But even behind the scenes or the things they're doing on even playing the characters when they're talking, what do you call those segments when they're just talking backstage or whatever?
Promos?
Yeah, like the promos I like. I just, the actual matches are to me the least interesting part of it.
I definitely think when you're right for some of that stuff, and there's certainly a lot of the TV product that you see in North America can be really boring sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff that's going on in NXT right now is amazing. But also, you got to see this guy Nakamura from Japan.
Okay.
Because his biggest influences are Prince and Michael Jackson. And the way he performs in the ring, it is like Iggy in
really?
Like, yeah, it's like Iggy in like 69 or something. It is an incredible thing to behold.
I will watch Nakamura tonight.
Yeah,
that sounds. Is he like changing the game?
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing?
He's really like one of those people that is just, he's kind of like in Japan right now, the number two Japanese wrestler.
Okay.
But like in North America, for fans of Japanese wrestling, I think he's probably number one. And in Japan, he's kind of like, you know, it's like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones as far as like the cooler.
Okay.
Of, you know, he's like the number two, but it's like the cooler of the number two.
Sure, he's like the bad boy.
Yeah, Tanahashi's the kind of the number one. But he's just, He's just unbelievable to see. He's really okay. A sight. Like the way he moves, the way he moves in the ring, you can watch him from the beginning to end because just like the way he kind of pulls you in as a viewer is just incredible.
Okay, I'm going to watch. You're hooking
me
now.
And I will now watch a playoff basketball game in response.
Won't.
I will. I one time went to a basketball game and chased John Cusack out at the Sky Dome, and that's like the last time I think I went to a basketball game.
So you saw a Raptors game?
Yep. My friend had season tickets really close, like just off the floors.
Sure.
He probably still does. I haven't spoke that guy in years. I should hit him up. And John Cusack was sitting on the floor, but we could yell and he could hear us. And he and I were going to the bathroom at the same time at one point. And so I like turned to him as we're walking up the ramp to this is when they were playing the Sky Dome before they moved the ACC.
Sure.
And so we're walking up the ramp. And I go, hey, I saw the movie Gross Point Blank. It's pretty awesome. He's like, oh, thank you. And then as we're going to the bathroom, he cuts in front of me and gets in line for McDonald's. And then I go to the bathroom, and I'm like, oh, okay. And so I go to the bathroom, and I come out, and he's no longer in line for McDonald's. And then so I sit down again, and I see he's coming from the other side, which means he went to somewhere else to pee, pretend to get in line for McDonald's, and went somewhere else. And so I'm like a dumb kid. So that for me was like, it's on. And so
you just now doubled down on what you were yelling at John Cusack.
Yeah, it's like just being jerks, you know.
So would that be up there with your celebrity encounters? Is that
That's probably my dumbest.
That's a rough one because
that's a rough one.
You watched him actually, because you know this Patti Smith one that happened to me, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite. Well, I think everyone who listens to the show, because we've all been there, and we've all had that moment. I think, I don't know, that one, it's hard, because that one is you know, so good, and I've had some that are just like, just people being really mean to me, but you just like, hit the things you said.
But I did hit in the space of like a poem, like it's a short, like a Zen cone thing that's only three lines. I managed to say to her in one sentence enough to like existentially blow the whole thing up. Oh, but John, I'm going to say
that was pretty.
John Cusack saying to himself, this kid's freaking me out a little bit.
You left.
I'm going to pretend I'm going to buy McDonald's. Like, what's he eating at McDonald's, this guy? This guy's an actor. Like, he's just like, yeah, I'm going to get two Big Macs and large fries, and I'll get a shake, too. Like he's eating, like, 5,500 calories. He's like a movie star. He can't eat like that. And then he's like, and he sees you going to the bathroom. He's like, oh, that kid's gone. Okay, there's got to be another men's room around here somewhere. Yes, at the other side of the arena, sir. If that's where it's at, then that's where I'm going. And then you see him coming down. I feel comforted by that. But you were a kid then. You were not me now, an adult, doing it. Have you had one any time? As an adult, have you had a bad one?
Yeah, but I went to the only people I freak out for are wrestlers. Like, you know, obviously now meeting a musician. You know, I haven't met Patti Smith, so to be fair, like maybe she would be someone like with a real presence. But like, I just kind of feel, you know, this is going to sound really egotistical, but like I feel like we're all part of that fraternity of, you know, performing artists, which you are now.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. But
you're a gigging artist.
There's that thing where you know that at some point, no matter how big they are, they have to walk out of the place they just played and get into something with wheels on it that takes them to the next place where they're going to play. And maybe they're on a bigger thing with wheels or they're going to a bigger place to play, but they're still moving from city to city to do their thing. So it is this thing that you're a part of. That you guys have definitely, that your band effed up has definitely, like, I mean, cause how long have you guys been like a hard touring band? Like where the schedules were just like, we're handing our life over to this.
I'd say it's been 7 years now, mm-hmm. 8 years.
Of just like, we're working
this.
Yeah,
we're working this.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like we're taking some time now because I've got another kid on the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be, you know, the first time we're going to take a break where we're going to be like,
let's
take a break from this because it's been like, yeah, touring.
It's been like 7 or 8 years pretty much where you guys would just work the globe.
Yeah, I guess.
For stuff.
Well, that's the way it works now, right? Mm-hmm. Like you don't have... You can be, there's a classy musician, which mm-hmm. didn't really exist, but because of the internet now exists, where you can play to your little pocket all over the world.
Yeah, it's called lower middle class, is what we call it.
Exactly.
It's called, you are now a member of the lower middle class.
Working person's rock.
You're just, you are a part, yeah. Except, unlike somebody working like a job like that, you don't get like a scheduled...
Nope.
Mechanical pay raise every year. You might get lower next year.
Yeah.
Like, that's the hard part of it. Is it just like, oh, by the way, you're not popular like you were last year, so you're going to just get less money this year. Yeah. I sure hope you didn't get used to that money that you got last year, because you're going to get less of it this year. But you don't have that control over that.
No, I don't, and it's really, believe me, it sounds like you were reading my fortune there, my past, I should say.
But you work at a lot of different things,
yeah.
too. You're not just, you don't just have your whole thing is not built around being in the band. You have other interests and other things you kind of are pursuing.
Yeah, I've lucked out and just found, like, I was a VJ for a minute on
Much Music, which is the... Canadian equivalent of MTV.
Yeah, and it's now just called Much.
Okay.
And they don't play Much Music anymore.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And
you were a VJ for what type of show?
I was at a show called The Wedge, and it was a show that I kind of grew up on. Like, mm-hmm. it was a show that would have played, probably the first time I would have seen Superchunk on there. Definitely the first time I saw bands like DBS, who are a punk band that got me into punk. Like, like all these bands were on there, and it was like this... Kind of like, I guess, what was the show that Candy hosted, 120 Minutes?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it was like, Sukhyun Lee was one host, and she was this awesome VJ that was in this band called Bob's Your Uncle before she became a VJ and performed with noise artists and, you know, would, like, you know, play weird stuff and interesting kind of music. And then before that, it was Simon Evans. And who was the first one, Zach? Simon Evans and KCC?
Kim Clark
Champus, maybe? Yeah, was it? Anyway, they had like a couple VJs. There's probably, you know, I know there's a lot of Canadian Best Show fans that are just like screaming at their
they're iPods just like screaming.
Right now. Come on, how can you remember this? You hosted it! And then it went away and they revived it for me, and then I guess I killed it again.
So you brought a... You brought its permanent death.
Yeah, I brought its permanent death. And it was, they would, you know, put us on at 6:30 in the morning or 2:30, and there'd be, like, no rhyme or reason to it. Like, hey, we got a new time slot for you. And it's like, you can't put me in a regular time slot at all. But it was fun. It was, like, I got to work with some really cool people on it. And you know, I got Chris Jericho, the wrestler, on it. I got to...
Fozzy, his band Fozzy.
Yeah, Fozzy. Mm-hmm. We did play Fozzy on that episode, to be honest. We let him pick the whole episode, and I got probably not my favorite episode of the show, that's for sure.
Or not your most representative episode.
No, but I did bring Edge. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember Edge, the Canadian wrestler who teamed with Christian.
Okay.
He was the Rated R Superstar, but when he was on the show... I knew he went to high school in Orangeville.
Okay.
And I knew he went to high school with his band Five Knuckle Chuckle. So when he was on, when he comes, who were like this awesome Zach, you remember Five Knuckle, obviously. They were a huge part of our music lives growing up. Yeah, adolescence. Like, probably never played to a show to more than 150, 250 people. But they were incredible. And so I asked, so I'm like, at the beginning of the show, I'm like, I've got a music video. Because I let him pick the whole show, and it was cool. He picked, like, Nirvana and Pearl Jam and stuff like
that. Sure.
You know, like that kind of music. But then I'm like, I've got a video for you in the middle of the show. And so in the middle of the show, I'm like, I've got a band from your high school. He's like, I have no idea what band you're going to play. I'm like, a little band called Five Knuckle Chuckle. And he like goes, oh my God. He goes, are you kidding me? That's my favorite band. Like, that was the band like that got me the first time I ever heard Nirvana was because the drummer went to Music World and shoplifted the CD for me. And I'm like, well, I'm so, statute of limitations up on that.
Out on that. So the drummer from Five Knuckle Chuckle boosted a copy of Nevermind for Chris Jericho? Or
no,
the Edge?
No, Edge.
For, not the Edge, Edge.
Yeah, not the Edge.
For Edge.
When I tell people that he was on the show, they are like, whoa. It's also when I tell people that I like, I'm like, yeah, I was on a Conan's podcast. People are like, Conan O'Brien? I'm like, no, Conan, the wrestler from WCW, of course.
You're just like, wait, why do you not know about my alternate universe where names, where the same name means something completely different for me? Yeah, when I say Edge, I don't mean the dude with the beanie and all the petals.
I mean the guy with long flowing blonde hair from Orangeville, Ontario. Yeah, that was a pro wrestler.
So,
Adam Copeland. He's now an actor in that Haven.
Okay.
Yeah.
Haven. What is Haven?
It's like a sci-fi show in America.
Sci-fi original series.
Sci-fi original series. Yeah, but it's written by Stephen King, I think.
Okay.
It's based on a Stephen King book.
Now, did you like being on camera? Do you like that? Did you feel you got hooked on that?
I got hooked on it. Like, I've been doing since then, after they canceled that, or even kind of while they were still doing it, I did this food show called Super Snack Brothers. That was fun. And then I did a bunch of, and I'm still doing a bunch of cannabis documentaries, medical cannabis documentaries called Canadian Cannabis for Vice.
Sure. And that was, you're going all over the place.
Yeah. It's been like, well, Colorado, obviously Vancouver for us is kind of the Colorado. And, it's been really interesting. Like for me, I didn't, I'm now a medical cannabis user, but I did not grow up smoking cannabis. I smoked it a little bit when I was 14.
Yeah, because you, this is like a 5-year thing for you, pretty much.
It was, I think, 5 years ago this summer.
Yeah.
You knew me in the before time.
I knew you in the before time, and then we were at the Matador 21 thing in Las Vegas.
What a wild weekend.
And then suddenly you're like, Sandy! Sandy! Come back here, like, I mean, I'm not throwing her under the bus, No, sorry.
don't worry. No, she she did an interview in High Times. I think that's when you come out.
Yes, you're out. That's when you come out, yes. I remember you just screaming after her in a casino, and you're just like, ooh, he needs something.
Yes.
Yeah.
I needed money for cannabis.
That was a, that was a very upsetting weekend. It was so much fun, but you realize at a point, you're not supposed to stay in a casino for 4 days straight. At some point, you're supposed to leave the casino and see what's going on outside the casino. Yeah, that was that's one that you come out of saying like, okay, I'm feeling, I feel the difference with some limitations and some boundaries here from how I should put the boxes I can put myself in. And a casino is a box that you're not supposed to put yourself in for 4 days straight.
What I'm going to say, if you put the staff of Matador in a casino for 4 days straight, it's a dark party. It's like a, it's going to go to some weird, sinister places.
Yeah. But it's not like everybody's going to shows from early in the morning until super late at night also in the casino where they're not sleeping properly either and they're running themselves down in every possible way. Yeah, it was, I've talked to a lot of people from that thing and everybody was like, that was the most fun. I hope that never happens again. And I'm like, I think that's exactly where I stand on it is what a great time that they should never try to repeat.
What was the thing with Bell and Sebastian? Was that the one you guys hosted? Bell and Sebastian Day? No.
John and I hosted the final night, and I had no voice because I screamed Precision Auto with effed up.
We should got to put that out. We got to find that and put that out.
That would be awesome. I don't know where that is.
And then you suplexed me.
Well, no, you lifted me.
Yes.
just like nobody's business, and you threw me over your shoulder, and a fireman. Is that what that is? Is that a fireman?
I guess it's like a fireman carrier.
Thing, yeah.
I think I put you actually in a torture rack.
Okay.
If I remember correctly.
And then I'm like, well, I'm going to show that two can play at that game. And I lifted you about 2 inches off the ground, and then we both fell backwards into a drum set, which was, it was, and this is now just a couple hours into it. Like, it's like, that was the first night of this thing. And it's like, okay, this is not, I'm pacing myself incorrectly here. Yeah. So that was fun though.
But the Belle and Sebastian show, they went 60 minutes over.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, he was, yes, yeah, 60 minutes over, and it was $10,000 a minute or something for overages. And,
yeah.
And so, because.
Well, it's not a, like at a casino, they're going to, I'm sure nobody's going to get bent out of shape or yeah. there's any sort of like like there's any kind of like sneaky move, sneaky dealings going on at a performance, at a place in a casino in Vegas. I'm sure it just must have been like that's the kind of thing you could walked out into the desert for.
Yeah.
No, for Belle and Sebastian going over. Now you're, please, sir. No, don't. I'm begging you. They make you dig your own. They hand you a shovel out in the middle of the desert. They played the boy with the Arab strap. I'm sorry, sir. Please don't. it was a Belle and Sebastian. He got killed for what? Yeah, Belle and Sebastian kept playing and he had to dig his own grave. So you so effed up right now. You did the tour playing the Zodiac stuff, which was great because it was like hearing you guys were actually like spreading out even more.
Even more.
Yeah.
We have morphed with another younger kid band.
Mm-hmm.
The kids in the band Doom Squad.
Yeah.
Who are awesome.
So there's like 9 of you on stage at some point.
Yes.
So you did that. And how deep into the 12 are you now? How many are left to go?
Gosh, I don't know. We've got dog, pig, ox, rat, tiger, hare, dragon, and I just actually did vocals for Snake today.
Okay.
And so
that's 9.
Yeah. So I guess what, 3 more? And then,
yeah.
And then we're done the cycle?
Then you'll pick some other thing to change.
We got to do something else at that point.
When did that, who started that, and were you like, was it just like, yeah, we're actually not going to do all of this? Like, this seems like a, was it a thing like, no, whatever it takes, we will see all 12 of these through?
It kind of was like an accident. We did like Year of the Dragon, or Year of the Dog was the first one, sorry.
Okay.
And we called it Year of the Dog because we didn't have a name for the song. It was a super long song,
mm-hmm.
and it was the Year of the Dog. So we were just like, Year of the Dog, okay. And then the next year, Mike wrote another super long song, and we wanted to do something around sex workers' rights mm-hmm. in Canada. Because it was right around that time that there was this horrible person who was preying on sex workers in Vancouver and in other parts of, I think, the province as well, and murdering him. And he was a pig farmer, and so mm-hmm. not even worth mentioning his name. And he is a horrible dude, and so kind of like using pig as a metaphor.
Sure.
But then also how people treat sex workers in society mm-hmm. is lesser, and then sort of, mm-hmm. so Mike wrote this song. He's like, okay, we'll call it Year of the Pig, and it's like a kind of plays into the theme of the first one.
Yeah,
and then it became something where he's like, well, let's just keep doing one of these long songs every year. I don't know why I'm making that voice.
Yeah, I think that's your voice. But that was you. that would probably be someone else's impression of you. Actually,
that's true.
That voice.
That's my Mike voice.
That's your impression of Mike. Might be Mike's impression of you.
Yeah, probably.
You both.
Probably. I think we both kind of fulfill the same role in each other's lives. Mm-hmm. We're kind of actually closer. Since we broke straight edge, we've gotten a lot closer.
Good. That happens.
Yeah.
It's nice when people mend fences or find common ground so that they can exist and be friends in life.
We bonded over being edge-breaking sellouts.
There you go. But what's sellout? What's the sellout part?
You sell out your edge, Tom.
Oh, you sold, okay.
Yeah.
You sold your edge.
I sold my edge to the marijuana gods. I supplemented my edge.
So this wrestler, Aiden English.
Yes.
Who, he just won a few weeks ago the match in Brooklyn.
Yes.
Right? That was, that's called, that's WWE.
NXT.
NXT.
Yeah. It's their like younger, hipper brand. It's kind of like I don't know, it'd be weird to kind of think of what would be kind of an analogy for it, because rarely do you have a company that starts like a cooler version of itself. It would be almost like if like AAA baseball was suddenly cooler than Major League Baseball or something.
Yeah.
I guess some people think college sports are cooler than the
There's a lot of people. Yeah. Oh, there's so many people.
It's probably like that. So you're seeing a lot of younger talent up and coming. Mm-hmm. You actually see them bring in some older people once in a while too that people are fans of. But they've actually gone out and cherry picked some of the best wrestlers from around the world, like this guy Finn Balor, who is this incredible Irish wrestler who wrestled in Japan, who now wrestles in America, who is phenomenal, like really something that to behold. And then there's like Samoa Joe, who's a Samoan wrestler, who's made a name for himself working in other indie federations, and TNA before that, terribly named wrestling company, TNA.
Yeah, man.
So it stands for Total Nonstop Action, which they...
Yeah, but so many things could stand for other things that shouldn't...
It's so stupid. Like,
well, no, I understand it stands for total... It does stand for Total Nonstop Action. It also stands for something dumber than that, and no one's ever going to think, TNA, yeah, Total Nonstop Action. That sounds like a loophole that a club would... call itself to get around like community standards. Like,
yeah.
The name of our club is TNA, Total Nonstop Action. They're like, there's this gentleman's club on the New Jersey, on the Garden State Parkway that you'll pass, and it's called Club 35, because the highway is Route 35 running parallel to the parkway, but they do the Roman numeral 35, so it's Club XXX. But they're just like, hey, it's Club 35. We got Roman numerals. What do you want us to do? That's what we're doing. But they just love, I guess coincidentally it has three giant X's next in the thing. That's just how that goes.
I think with TNA, for years they played off like it was like, well, it's just a coincidence. And then they were like,
we're going to embrace this. Yeah.
But anyway, so they've signed like kind of like the you know, a lot of Kenta too. Like they've signed other big names from Japan and brought them in. Mm-hmm. And it's really become the hip thing to do. Like that one in Brooklyn.
The Brooklyn one was like packed. Yeah.
Completely sold out. The one
was that? That was like at the Barclays.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, the Barclays Center. Yeah.
Yeah, which is like, that's where like Jay-Z plays.
They did three nights there, completely sold out. That's like
unbelievable.
Yeah, they did the Raw, SmackDown, SummerSlam, and NXT, all completely sold out there.
And then he like, because he called the show a long time ago.
Yes,
this guy, he's now known as Aiden English. And he called and he was like, you heard that call? And he's like, I'm not sure what to call myself. I'm a wrestler. And then I said his name should be Dumb Oaf. Yeah. And you make him so dumb that dumb is misspelled with two M's. And then he went in a different direction.
Yeah.
He called him, now he's part of the Vaudevillains.
Yeah.
Which is the funniest thing I've ever seen or heard. The idea of two guys in 2015 pretending that it's 100 years earlier in their whole approach to everything. Like they have that giant megaphone thing, right? That the shouting cone or whatever those are called. What are those?
Barker cones?
Yeah, like a Barker cone. And they wear like unitards, right? Like the old fashioned, right?
Yeah, they have like the wax mustache. Yeah. And like, well, I think he wears,
I think Aiden wears boxer, like briefs, sorry.
Yeah.
Type of, but like old timey looking things, and like he definitely like wax mustache, and
yeah.
Like, it's a, yeah, it's a great gimmick.
And then they won.
Yep.
So it's like some dude who listens to the best show. He's part of a tag team group that is like the, are they the champs now? Of,
did they win the belt? Yeah, they won the belts, right? I think. I think I'm like, I'm now, so I watched it, but now I'm trying to remember. So I'm done with two M's tonight. Well, you know what? It's like the Summer of Champions for best show fans and thoughts, because, Aziz Ansari did a stadium show here last night.
Yeah.
And where did I awkwardly, that is my Tom, that is my Patty Smith. In recent years, when I called the best show, and Aziz was there, and it was like you were like, I think I pledged, it was funding drive, and you shouted me out, and you're like, oh, Damian Abraham from F'd Up, do you know him, Aziz? And he's like, no, I've never met him, but he looks scary, and then or something like that. I came up somehow, and I'm listening live, and so I'm like, what? That liar, because he did know me, because a couple years before in South by Southwest. Mm-hmm. When Human Giant had just come out, the three of them were there, and they couldn't get into the Vice party. And like they were like trying to be like, "Oh, can we get in?" And I'm like, I had met them the other day at another South by Southwest. I don't think it was a Vice one, another South by Southwest party. And so I was like, "Oh, like I'm a big fan of the show, guys." And so I saw them outside. I'm like, "Oh, I'll get you in." So I, you know, I talked to the bouncer, got someone over from Vice, got them in. And so they were like, oh, thanks, man, so much. And Aziz gave me a big hug. And I'm like, you know, I don't expect him to remember me for life. But then so I'm like, oh, well, he's lying. Or not lying, but he's forgotten. So I decided to call. Bear in mind, this is very early into my medical marijuana phase.
Yeah.
So I might have had partaken a little much that night.
You don't exactly have the both hands on this thing.
No, not when I decided to call.
Yeah.
And, you know, anytime you call the best show without a plan,
that's bad.
Risking disaster.
It's scary.
Oh,
I know.
No. Oh, it's you. I don't think you really do know. With all due respect, Tom, you do not know what it's like for us when you don't call him.
That's true. I don't. I'm the only one.
Yeah.
Who
the only one
doesn't sweat the thing, but you shouldn't. You should never sweat it.
Here's why I should, because I did call without a plan that night for the first time, the only time, I should say.
And you ate it?
And I call, and I'm like, my wife and you know, it was like I was trying to keep it quiet for the whole house. So I was whispering as I was talking, and I'm like, Aziz, you have met me. And he's like, oh, yeah, man? Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I remember at South by Southwest there was that party that Vice did.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, no, of course I remember meeting you.
And just now he's like, now he's suddenly saying, I think I'm going to get on, what's the verbal equivalent of me getting online at this McDonald's that I'm not going to order from?
He was like, when he probably was playing here last night, he's like, can I get the Meek Mill truck security detail for me?
Yeah.
To Meek keep that drug, that crazy singer effed up away.
You Toronto guys can't stop with Meek Mill.
Well, I gotta
Meek Mills, you keep kicking him when he's, this guy's like gonna like open up like a hardware store or something.
I gotta say, I'm ready for Philly Boy Roy to
defend Meek Mill.
Yeah, to come out and defend Meek Mill. I'm ready for his response.
So you as a proud Canadian.
Yes.
You know, I'm not making this about Canada. I get so, whenever anybody's doing a thing and they're just like, oh, I'm so, like, whenever an American is like, I'm somewhere else other than America, I'm going to talk about how weird this place is. It's like, it's not that weird.
No, but I think I know
you got a few different candy bars and some different chips at the store. It's not that different.
But where you're going to go is, I think, being Canadian is germane. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but you're Drake.
Yes.
Is like, is he the king of Canada?
Definitely.
Right?
At this point, yeah. And I'm not even like necessarily a fan of the music. Like, it's just not, like, and that's not, like, I'm not a fan, but I mean, it's just not my, you know, I listen to Weird 7 Inches and Cameron. That's really about it. And he, but he you know, like, as a Canadian, changed the game.
Yeah. His sad, cranky rap.
Yeah, but like,
right?
But that's Americans what that is, right? Love it.
No,
and that's the thing that made him so great to us, because like, Tom, name Canadian rappers pre-Drake.
Snow.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Informer.
I can get another one out of here.
I think you can. Let your backbone slide. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, okay. Dun, 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 dun. You're right. Dun, 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 dun. Who is that?
Maestro Fresh West.
Okay.
Who actually did a record in America with 45 King doing the beat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. He did a bunch of actually stuff when he was in New York. I think he also did one with AG doing the beat. Or
okay.
AG? Showbiz and AG? Yeah, Showbiz and AG doing the beat? No.
So up until Snow.
Yeah.
Snow, though, with Informer.
Yeah. Maestro Fresh West did well in America,
okay.
too. That did something. And then there was Carnal Official, who okay. had a song with...
Yes.
Who was it that he had? No. He had one with Clips.
Okay.
Or Pusha T, at least. Or someone mm-hmm. from Clips, I think. That charted in America.
Okay.
And then there was Chaos, who I think got positive reviews in like The Source and stuff, mm-hmm. but never really went anywhere.
So that's the basically the state of Canadian hip hop
prior to Drake.
Prior to Drake.
Yeah.
So then suddenly this guy now comes along.
Yeah.
And he becomes like Mr. Everything kind of guy, where he's like, he's not just like making the records. He's like he's a star. He's like a personality. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he's like at these Raptors games now, where he's just like saying like, we North, what is the thing? We North?
We are the North.
We're the North.
Right, yeah.
Even though it's not the most North team.
No.
Though if you're drawing a line across the North America, I think there's like, are there like three teams more north than Toronto?
I think it's because Toronto, you know, I think it's also we have to blame for that one, mm-hmm. Game of Thrones.
Okay.
I think I don't know, that's what I was kind of thinking. Do you think it's Game of Thrones?
I don't know.
Maybe it is all Drake stuff.
Well, it's also just saying like we're different than America. Like you still, even though you know us, you don't know us.
Yeah.
So he's just like, has there ever been a star, a Canadian star, who has played in America to that degree and is identified as a Canadian?
No. I think that's the thing. It's like there's never been an aspirationally cool Canadian star in America. Like it's been like Celine Dion, Bryan Adams, you know, like they sold records, a lot of them, right? And maybe Feist, people thought.
But they were not cool the way he's like. No. He's like setting the pace for cool. Like people, like he's the leader and people are following. It's not just like where he's like Bryan Adams is kind of just like fitting into a thing that started somewhere else. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's definitely the person that, you know, and he is,
does he still have a home in Toronto?
He's got probably a huge loft somewhere, or like penthouse. I remember the guy that hosted Rap City, T-Rex, who's still at Much Music, and still at that building, and he's super awesome. When Drake refused to take a picture with me, or not refused, but just acted super weird, and like he was having like a heart attack at the fact that people had asked at Much Music for us to get a photo together. And I was just like, if he doesn't want to do this photo, I don't care. Yeah. But anyway, he was the guy who's like, yo, Drake, this is Damien, he's cool. And then he's like, okay, sure, man, and took the photo. And I think, I didn't mean to sound that nerdy when I said that voice. I live in Toronto. I have to live in fear of the repercussions. So.
Yeah.
No, he was like, yeah, sure, I'll take the photo now. And so, but yeah, he's like one of Drake's like not new friends, obviously. And but anyway, he got hired at the same time, but he said that when he brought Much Music to Drake's house to film something one time, the producer was telling me that he had like this apartment where the like type thing where the elevator would go up to the apartment and open in like the middle of the
floor.
And then like he is like just like this insane sprawling like giant condo, and that was like 4 years ago, right? So now he's probably
it's only kept going.
Yeah, he's living a little higher on the hog even than that.
So. He's the coolest dude. Well, he's not the coolest dude to ever come out of Canada.
No. Who would that be?
As far as the culture might be. Because look, Who is it? Who's the coolest? Who are the coolest people from Canada ever? Neil Young.
Neil Young.
Right?
Yeah, but he moved to America pretty
early. Pretty young. He ran really fast, actually. He started a band. He was 21, yeah. And he was in California.
Yeah.
So.
But I think, like, the Vileones, obviously, you know, had some songs which are a little dubious lyric-wise. Steve Leckie had a pretty dubious nickname.
Okay.
But the story that Rollins tells in his book, where mm-hmm. he just has his radio shows playlists, annotated mm-hmm. playlists, is that he would go and see the Bad Brains practice, and they would just jam Screaming Fist by the Vileones
okay.
over and over again, and that this was like the song that was like a huge inspiration on them. So if you mm-hmm. think about the fact that the Vileones influence the Bad Brains, and the Bad Brains influence
everybody.
Everyone, right? Yeah. Like there's no Beastie Boys without the Bad Brains.
Yeah.
And like it's like...
There's no... And then minor threat with that.
Yeah. Right, yeah. And right? then it's like, and if the Beastie Boys didn't happen, mm-hmm. pop culture today would be very different. Like, a lot of things wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
You know?
So, it comes back. Well, look at comedy in Canada. Yeah. You yep. draw all this up. I grew up, SCTV meant so much more to me than Saturday Night Live. Yeah. It was when I was like 10 or whatever, and they were showing it on NBC, they would show it on a Friday night, or they would show it after Saturday Night Live. It was like, that was the show I was interested in. Mm-hmm. And that was like this whole world of a thing that these guys and ladies built. It was just like, and then when you find out they're all from Canada, you're just like, and then who else is from it? You start finding out all these other people, Dan Aykroyd and Mike Myers and yep. just like, that's crazy. And who else?
Well, like even and Nathan For You.
Oh, my God. Well, that Nathan Fielder.
Nathan Fielder, who's I think the most recent kind of like, probably the most recent big comedic yeah. breakout export that's like amazing.
No, he's great. He's all, like he to me is just as funny as it gets.
And it's funny because I go back and watch his comedy stuff that he mm-hmm. did in Canada, and it's funny.
Because he was on a show called...
This Hour is 22 Minutes?
This Half Hour is 22 Minutes?
Oh, no, it's called This Hour has 22 Minutes because it's a half-hour show.
Oh.
Right? Is that what it is? Yeah. And then he was on that, and he was mm-hmm. on Canadian Idol. Yeah, Sean Benjamin has a van when he goes to America, right?
Yeah, that was him. He was like the sound guy on that. Yeah.
I could hear H. John Benjamin read like a phone book, and I think it would be like the funniest, most soothing sound.
No, he's got the voice. Greatest voice. Yeah.
He's like the Velvet Fog. Is that what they used to call Mel Torme?
That is what they called Mel Torme.
He's like the new Velvet Fog.
I thought you would be the new Velvet Fog.
I told Smokey Robinson once that I sang just like him.
You did?
Yeah. I was at South by Southwest.
You were at a Raptors game? You were at a Raptors game. You're both online for the men's room.
No.
And then Smokey Robinson.
I was at South by Southwest, uh-huh. and I had to do a bunch of press things, right, in the convention center. And I was waiting for an interview, and I'm like, Smokey Robinson was, like, there to do an autograph mm-hmm. signing. And I'm like, well, my mom loves him. So I just got in line, bought mm-hmm. a CD, and then I, like, waited in line to get him to sign it.
Yeah.
You know? And then I get up there, and he signs it. This is for my mom. Like, he dedicates it. He's like, oh, thank you. I'm like, people tell me all the time when I sing that I sound just like you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, really? And I'm like, he's like, that's beautiful. And I'm like, thank you. And I'm like, see you later.
Wouldn't the greatest thing be is if, like, he heard effed up? That's the thing where he would be like, a guy like that would be like, this is clearly like from a science fiction movie. Yes. Like this is not like, this is like some dystopian future where this is what music has become.
Why would people listen to this?
Yeah. You'd be like, wait, I've been working all my life to just make these beautiful, smooth sounds. It's like, why would it be rough? There's smooth stuff available. Like, I've been working hard to make smooth stuff forever. Why would you choose this? Why do these kids want this? And it's crowded in here?
This is just noise.
He would think it would be like, the song would end, and then you would start talking about how you're going to, like, take over, like, what what like guerrilla action you were going to do. Because clearly there's no way this exists unless it doesn't have some element of mind control or, just like, there's no way that this band could exist just as records in his mind. It would just be, no, clearly these people are all either on some sort of hypnosis chemical that this is their cult leader and he's going to go give them their commands now.
One time we played this festival in England called Sonic Boom Festival or something in Birmingham. And, we sounded like the Beatles on that festival compared to the other bands as far as tunefulness. Mm-hmm. There was a guy who his performance was contact mites on plates of glass and just rubbing his face together and then break on his face. And then like another thing was Hajiki Hino, the noise guy, doing a live collaboration with Merzbow, on stage, and it was just like obviously you know what that sounds like,
you know where that's gonna,
and then there was like it was just like every band was just like you know
what if those two guys came out and everybody's gonna be like here it goes and they came out and they just sounded like Simon and Garfunkel. Those two guys come out and suddenly it's like, are you going? So it's like, wait, they can do that also? Oh my God.
It was amazing. Like he's sitting backstage, I know, and he's got his like cane or, and he's like, and the guy comes over and he's like, here's the Jaguar, feather Jaguar you wanted from your, as per your gear rider. Mm-hmm. And he whispers to his interpreter. And the interpreter goes, he would like to know if he can take a drill and drill right through the neck. And they're like, no.
We rented you a Fender Jaguar, not for you to start dismantling it. Yeah, that guy, he might be the most threatening guy with a cane in rock, right? Him and Jerry Lee Lewis, maybe?
Yeah.
Like, maybe there should be like an all cane list. Who's got a cane in rock?
Who else has, who's a cane rocker? Cooper?
Cane rockers. Alice Cooper? Alice, yes, Cooper. That's a very, those might be the top three cane rockers.
Well, and this one I feel bad putting this one in the list because he legitimately needed one and he's gone now. But Ian Dury
had a cane. Marky Smith, I think, uses a cane sometimes. Yeah. Like I've seen him with a cane. So just like
one
cane rock.
Not the most pleasant. He might be the most threatening person with a cane, to be honest.
Him? Yeah. I would almost think with him it would be just like he's scarier with the cane now than when he didn't need a cane and just could walk on two legs, because now he can decide to hit you. He couldn't kick you that high before. Now he can just swing and hit you. He's like high sticking you.
We played a festival one time with him, and I got introduced to him, and I'm like, he's like this, like Damien from this band Effed Up. And he's like, Effed Up from Canada, la la la, and just wanders off, and I'm like, he knows who we are.
That is the greatest. He just went la 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 and then drifted away.
And then they went to the communal dressing room, kicked all the other bands out, and he just locked himself and did a bunch of drugs.
Because he knew that he clearly was just reading and just like crumpling up an issue of NME. So with Canada.
Yes.
Movies get filmed up here in Toronto.
Absolutely.
Class of 1984, filmed in Toronto.
A memorable movie featuring an incredibly important Canadian punk band, Teenage Head.
They were in it?
Yep. They perform in it. And I forget what songs they do. Gosh. But they perform it. They're the band in it.
When he walks into the venue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have, that movie has a young Michael J. Fox in it.
Another Canadian.
Another Canadian who watches his friend fall to his death from the flagpole.
From Central Tech? Have you been to that high school?
No.
We gotta take you there at some point. That's like
the class of 1984 yeah. high school. Does it still look the same?
Yeah, it's right by where the, that Sonic Boom.
Okay.
The old location was. It's like just around the corner.
And the camera, is there like a record shop? Every shot is down like the one street
yeah.
where you keep seeing like A&M Records.
Yeah.
And they would just shoot it one way, and then they're clearly shooting the same street and just turning it around the other way. That's like when the car flips over. So many of the scenes take place on this one, two-block stretch of what street is that? Is that
Yonge Street?
That's Yonge Street.
And what famous video by what New York seminal band, alternative rock band, is that featured in to the street?
Yonge Street?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Driving Up and Down. Disappear by Sonic Youth. The Disappear video. They're driving. It's Thurston Moore wearing the wig, right?
Just up and down.
It's up and down Yonge Street. You can see the, you can see the Sam's wheels in that one, not the A&M record. They had already gone, but.
Now, do you know the first time Yonge Street.
The legendary Tom Sharpling.
Yeah. For me, it was SCTV when they did their parody of that I found out it was a parody of like a movie of like two, like bumpkin type kids coming to the big city.
Yep.
And what's that movie actually called?
Going Down the Road.
Okay.
Is it Going Down the Road? Is that what, yeah.
And did you grow up with, does everybody know that movie?
It's kind of like, it's not, at this point, not really. Okay. Because it's, you know.
It's aged out.
Yeah, it's kind of aged out. But it certainly, you know, for me, that SCTV sketch meant I had to see it eventually as an older person.
Where it was like,
Gord,
big smoke.
Gord, we're going to Yonge Street. Oh, we're on Yonge Street. Oh, I got a girl pregnant.
Like, and they were just walking on this one street, and you just see like a camera shop, and they're just like, and it had that song where it's like, oh, there's a rainbow in Toronto, right?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's meant to be like Gordon Lightfoot kind of Lightfoot style.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little Stompin' Tom style too.
Okay.
Kind of Canadiana, like Canadian music.
Sure. Just that kind of.
Yeah. Like I guess it would be Maritimes music. I'm
sure.
From the out east.
Sure.
Which is where those guys are from in Going Down the Road.
Yeah.
Newfoundland.
Okay.
Which
the,
is.
The new, is Newfie a slur? Is that an actual slur at this point?
Yeah.
So I'm sorry.
No. I think some self-identify a lot as like, it has become something like a badge of honor for some people.
Yeah, well, it does. But the thing is, when words take on that thing where people reclaim it, it still doesn't mean I can go throw it around too. There's a few words that you don't do that with.
Yeah, it's also Newfoundland's an incredible place in the history of music in Canada because that's where the first punk LP comes out, or it's one of the early ones. It's a double LP by the band called the Dust Line.
Okay.
And it's incredible. And then there was the band called The Reactors, also that has a great power pop single that came out of there really early on. And then there was a band called Schizoid that is just like totally, it's the best New York hardcore record in my mind, not from New York.
Okay. The best, okay.
No, or New Jersey, because Mental Abuse's LP is pretty incredible from New Jersey.
Would you ever write a book, Damien?
I don't think I'm very good at writing.
But I think you are.
Oh, I appreciate that.
But you could, if you wrote, all you have to do is just talk, just write, or just, you could just tell some stories and then do your version of the history of some of these things that like, it's not, because you're clearly such a student of punk and hardcore and just kind of tracking these things.
I don't know, I've always loved how it's interconnected. I love the fact that like, you know, there's Liverpool in the mid '80s. There's shows where you have Robbie Brookside doing the door, helping put on the shows, who's considered the greatest small room wrestler of all time, an incredible British wrestler who's now the head trainer at NXT, one of the big trainers at NXT. And you also have Jeff Rowley, one of the most important skateboarders of all time, like kids. Every kid I know at some point pretty much owned a pair of Vans Rally shoes.
Okay.
And then you also have Andy Capper, who's the person that discovered our band as far as putting us in magazines outside of punk magazines.
Mm-hmm.
and also is the guy that does all these crazy documentaries for Vice now, like the one on Chirac or Chicago and the Atlanta one that they did. And they're all at these shows in Liverpool, going to these punk shows.
But that, so you see that and the connections between things. It's like, why don't you just do a thing? It's like Damien's World, right? And just lift your head up. And you show all the connections to everything.
That'd be awesome.
Right? Because I've heard you talk from the stage about you, when I saw you a couple months ago, you were talking about the New York, New Jersey, punk wrestling connections, and you were breaking all of those down. Yeah. You could do like all sorts of, like all the connections between things would be awesome.
Well, I think it's also like, it's crazy because you look at the Best Show, and like you look at all the people that are kind of like brought together by the show, and you have like the punks connection, the music connection, and just like so many weird inter things connect only through the show. Like Ben Gibbard and I don't have a lot in common other than this show, you know? Like, but that's not saying we, you know, I've been against, but like we just don't, haven't met ever.
Yeah, you're
like,
you're not moving in the same circles in one way. But.
Yeah. Like, you know, and the same way, like, you know, a lot of these people like Aziz and might not have any connection to Aiden English other than this show, you know? Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's that, it's like, it's, I find it cool that certain, the things that I love happen to always seem to meet up together somehow.
You know what I'm going
to
end up like? Mr. Holland's Opus. You ever see this movie, Mr. Holland's Opus? He made everybody's life richer, but he, dumb teacher, croaked on a teacher's salary. I'm heading toward Mr. Holland status, I'm realizing here. Oh, all the things that came through, the students who went on to all these amazing things. And then here's Mr. Holland trying to get by on 18 grand a year to school. His car's broken down. He's just, I'm starting to feel like Mr. Holland, Damien.
I think the thing is, this is the year that I think every other thought person, I guess, you know, we can talk about, as you got a friend of Tom.
Friend of Tom, yes. You
know, Zach's got his card right there on the fridge.
Yeah.
You know, on the side.
Oh, there it is. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Is it okay if I grab a drink today?
Yeah.
Damien's getting a drink.
He can't drink the water.
I'm going to tell you all once again, the tour dates.
Yes.
Go to stereolaughs.com/tour and you check out the dates. Sharpling and Worcester live in Toronto, Boston, and Philadelphia. We will be closing out 2015 with shows in all of those places.
Do you want a glass of water?
I'm okay. I still have some of this 4-gallon Slurpee that you said was a good idea to drink at 10 at night.
Well, you know, that it wasn't like you were not going for something that was going to be not...
No, it was stupid. I was going to just say, like, I think I'm just going to have a big gulp instead. And you're just like, go for the Slurpee. I'm like, it's different. And Damien and Zach were saying, these Canadian Slurpees are different. And they are different. I don't know what's going on with the Canadian Slurpee, but it's different.
Yeah. You know, it is. It's like a lot more liquidy and less foamy.
Yeah.
It's
not as icy.
No. And I do love, you know, bad food for you in America. Like, I find it really good. But I think Slurpees is something that's definitely superior in Canada. But back to what I was saying, I think this is the year that, you know, all of us that have been fans of The Best Show for a long time have felt validated because it's like the world at large has kind of picked up on it a lot more.
I guess a little bit. It feels like that, you know.
On TV.
We had a box set out and the...
Yeah.
We did some stuff, yeah. But
like, I can bring up The Best Show just about anywhere in, like, you know, obviously, you know, if I went to the Walmart and just started talking to random people,
then you're going to get tossed.
Yeah, but, like, in just about any, like, kind of circle where you'd expect people to be hip to, like, popular culture, and people know it.
You'll find someone. That's the whole thing, is that if I'm on the run, I know I can get by from coast to coast, as long as I find whatever record store in America, someone will give me shelter as I run from the law.
You're not going to be like Mr. Holland. You're going to be like
the fugitive. I'll be running with the copy of the box set through the woods. I'll be running, the police on my tail. I'll find the record store. I'll just bring the box set. See, this is me. I'm one half of this thing. Just, I'll be like, okay, you can stay in our basement for 2 days, but then you got to get out of here.
Zach and my, really good friend, Kai, used to work at this HMV, and mm-hmm. Corey Haim would come in and just chill mm-hmm. and, like, try and return.
Another Canadian, right?
Yeah, another Canadian.
Sunglasses at night.
Yep. No, that's Corey Hart. Corey Haim was the two Coreys from Drive. That's,
sorry. Yeah. Corey, is your Corey Hart? He seems like he could be Canadian. No
offense.
Yeah,
I think he is. He's definitely Canadian, right? Too. Yeah, we've got a lot of Coreys here.
So the Corey Haim.
Corey Haim.
The deceased.
Rest in peace.
And Corey, yeah.
But he used to come in and he would like try and return videos from Blockbuster mm-hmm. and like, you know, try and get the mm-hmm. full credit at this mm-hmm. HMV store. And then one day he came in to apply for a job with a headshot and a list of movies that he was in.
Oh, no.
But he asked for the headshot back.
Okay. Oh, boy.
I know, it's a sad one.
That's a sad one. I saw this documentary, Best of Enemies. Mm-hmm. Which is really good. It's about William F. Buckley and Gore Vidal.
No.
Did these debates on ABC and for the 1968 presidential election. They did 5 nights on ABC for each of the conventions for the two parties. Like, so they did 5 nights arguing during the Republican convention in 1968 and then 5 arguing during the Democratic convention. On television, and they really didn't like each other.
Yeah.
And then William F. Buckley, like, finally, like, Gore Vidal kept, like, he would prepare so much, and, like, he kept beating on William F. Buckley, and then he finally got him. He called him, like, a crypto-Nazi, and then William F. Buckley lost it, and he, like, called him, like, a queer. This is on TV in 68, he said, like, I'll punch in your goddamn mouth or something. Like, I forget what the exact thing was. He lost it on TV then. And then, but they never, ever liked each other, ever. And when you said rest in peace, you know, I kept thinking of when William F. Buckley died, Gore Vidal wrote this thing, and I think he said, rest in hell.
Whoa.
William F. Buckley, to William, like, the idea of, like, not letting it go when the person
is gone,
dies.
Be forever.
There's something strangely, I don't want to say admirable, it's not admirable, but it's also, there's something that's at least honest about.
Yeah.
It's like, look, just because their physical form quit doesn't mean that it wasn't a bad spirit coming from that person. Like it doesn't suddenly erase all the badness that this person perpetuated on a daily basis that made the world a worse place.
Yeah.
So I'm strangely conflicted about that one.
Well, that's the thing, is like there are bad people. There are people that do bad things and that want, you know, selfishly to hurt other people for their gain. And you know, you, man, not to disrespect an American presidential candidate, but like you watch Trump in those rallies,
mm-hmm. yeah,
and you're like, whoa, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's like some of the stuff you're saying, like you really don't have a lot of good running through those veins.
No. Well, he's never been told no his entire. He's like he's almost the example of like a kid in short pants. Like a fancy lad who all of a sudden at age 70, who no one ever said, no, you don't do that. No.
There's Elliot in Cabin Boy without becoming the Cabin Boy.
He is. That's exactly. He's like that. He, but there still is a part of me that wants, like, the part of me that craves, that would just love to see what the destruction of America would look like.
Yeah.
Would be curious to see what it would be like if he was president, because then it would be like, well, it's on. Here we go. Like, it's really on in terms of, like, it's on. Like, the idea of, like, ownership of property is up for question now. Like, everything is being rewritten now. It's like, you watched all those movies and you watched all that stuff. It's like, here's what it's like in the real world.
Have you seen this, Wild in the Streets? The one with Max Frost as a president? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think he would make a better president than Trump.
Yeah. Like, no, look, I don't.
If you want to put anyone older than 15 in internment camps.
Yes. I don't actually want him to be president.
It would. I know. Believe
I wish that there was like a way that we could see what threads of time would look like. If we could just like watch alternate realities. There's an episode of Rick and Morty where they had different channels where every different channel was a thing like that. And I was like, oh, I wish I could just watch what this would be like as a chant, like the news on that reality
every
would be
one
the,
of those candidates in the Republic. Like, just like, what is it going to be like when we turn back the clock to what weird, twisted version of America you want?
Yeah. That would be, I wish I could just see it though. So Toronto movies, class of 1984.
Police Academy.
Police Academy.
Yep. Short Circuit, part two, maybe part one as well.
So when you see Police Academy and they're saying, everyone's rioting.
Yeah.
And then you like look and it's just like the buildings just have that slightly different shape to them. To me, I love Rumble in the Bronx, which was shot in Vancouver.
Yes.
Where when you see these snow-capped mountains in the background of the Bronx. Yeah. You know when you're in the Bronx and you just see those that beautiful mountain range. So Police Academy 2. Short Circuit 2. Police Academy 1.
Short Circuit and Police Academy, it's the scene when they're doing the wave runners to the island, Toronto Island, and you can see the CN Tower in the background.
And that's so
that would be one. And I'm trying to think some of the more recent ones. Definitely, pardon me.
Enemy.
Yeah, the Jake Gyllenhaal film was here too.
Okay.
All those David Cronenberg movies. A lot of them are at least were
sure.
Here.
Okay.
Definitely. I'm trying to think of other celebrities because celebrities will come here and they'll be in the stargazing section of the Toronto Star, which, by the way, I was in. This weekend.
The Toronto Star has its stargazing section.
Yeah, it was celebrities.
And you were in it because you were...
I don't know. I put a picture on my Instagram from when I was doing the podcast with Fred Armisen, and they put it in the stargazing section. But, my mom was like, you're in the stargazing section of the paper.
That's awesome.
Well, believe me, this is like a victory that... a hollow victory, but a victory all the same. It's like... As the band's popularity declines, you make it in the stargazing section of the newspaper.
Yeah, but did they identify you as podcaster, Damien?
No, because I didn't really reference the podcast. Okay. I should have done that in the Instagram.
Yeah.
That's, I guess, how you do this. You're better at this than me, Tom. I'm just learning.
Not.
I'm just learning.
You're the one with the Vice TV show.
you could have that, too, if you smoke more cannabis.
Why can't they give me my version of that?
What would be your version of it?
I don't know.
It'd be like medicinal
pinball, music. Playing pinball.
Medicinal pinball.
Just me playing pinball.
That would be a good show.
I would do that.
You know what you should do? Comedians playing pinball.
Comedians playing pinball on flatbed trucks. We do it on flatbed trucks. Worst is playing ball, just bouncing all over the place as the truck.
Are you saying that you can't see that show with GoPros put inside the pinball machine? And
I can see that happening, and I can
definitely see it happening.
You ever fly Virgin America, and then they have like the TVs on the thing, and they have this GoPro channel on it, and I feel like I want to vomit when I'm already on a plane, and they're just showing things shot just from the perspective of GoPros. It's like it's hard enough flying sometimes. I don't need to watch like snowboard videos.
I always take a medical cannabis brownie or two or 10 before I get on a plane, and that would be an amazing channel to have. But we always fly Air Canada because we get, we lie.
Sure. Yes.
If you're in a band, one tip I will give to new bands starting out, find an airline that you're going to try and travel with every time you have to go by plane and sign up for the loyalty program early because it does add up and you get those free flights eventually.
You just own it.
I went to New York for free this weekend. Well, taxes and stuff.
Oh, but you just pick an airline. That's great advice, Damien. You pick an airline. You pick a rental car company.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, I usually rent a car from Enterprise. Not the greatest company, admittedly. But which, it's not like, oh, I'm not going to that awesome car rental company.
You're not going to the cool one that's like, you're not going to the one that's run by the bass player from Fugazi.
Yes, exactly. I'm not going to Joe Lally's car rental place. So, So I go, I'm in Los Angeles, and I go to rent a car, and they're like, Enterprise is like, we're all out of cars. I'm like, what do you mean you're all out of cars? You don't have anything? Like, no, we are entirely out. So now I'm just like, oh, no.
Were you like Steve Martin in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
He would have done better than I did when I had to go to, and look, I'm not going to name this company, but let's just say there's a, when you talk about green U.S. money, who's on the face of the one? Is it Lincoln or Washington? Why am I blanking on that?
It's Washington.
It's Washington, yeah. The name of the company is Dollar.
I thought you were just messing with the Canadian, oh, trying to test me.
No, I was not. You would say it's Queen Elizabeth, of course.
We don't have $1 bills.
No, you leave it. Loonies. Yeah. Yes. But I thought you would take that as your one.
That, yeah, you're right.
As a loony.
You're right.
So, yeah, it's Dollar Rental. I go to this place, and I see the line is going outside the door to get, and I got this Enterprise, like, fancy schmancy, and it takes nothing to get it. You go online, you sign up, and then they send you a card in the mail, and then you get to cut the line. It's not anything fancy at all.
No.
You just go to the rewards thing. So I got this Dollar thing. I got no pull at this place. I'm online. You would have thought we were like, you would have thought that like the War of the Worlds was coming down the street and everybody needed to get a car to escape the city as it's collapsing. It just, I was there for an hour and a half trying to get this car out of the place. And then you finally do the deal and then you're like, okay, you go outside to the lot. And I go out there and there's just nobody there to tell you what to do. And I'm like, wait, what do I do? And I like look around and then somebody just goes, yeah, you just take a car. Just go and take one. The keys are in him. Just take one. Like, just take a car. Like, this is, who's running? So I just go to the, I rented a compact. I go, and there's just none in the line for compact. Just, there's like none left. I'm like, so I just get this in this car that was like the, it was like a pod almost on wheels. It was like the Star Wars pod that a C-3PO climbed into. It was like the size of that with a steering wheel and wheels and drove that away. And they didn't care. Yeah, okay, bring it back on Sunday. Like, and I'm like, that's what you get when you got that loyalty thing. You skip that stuff. So yeah, pick an airline.
Yep. Pick your thing early because you get those programs and you're right. Like if you can skip the line, one year we flew to Japan like three times or something in Australia, so we got gold status.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like a millionaire. You really do. You can skip every line.
No, imagine the businessman flying, and he goes up and he sees these six weirdos from effed up. And he's like, no, I'm supposed to be in the gold status here. I'm looking and I'm seeing this looks like the usual suspects are here. Looks like some prison release program is lined up here flying. Are you doing like some sort of exchange of prisoners from country to country? Because I'm a businessman and I'm here and
Con Air.
Yeah, exactly. This is Con Air. Apparently, like some, because these six people and me don't have that in common. But you know what? You did.
Yeah.
You did.
The best was, though, coming back from Japan. One by one, we all got bumped to first class except Mike.
Except Mike.
And we're all looking at him as we're all getting bumped up one by one on the way back from Japan. Where, let me tell you.
This is the order of who should get bumped up in effed up, top to bottom, just based on appearance.
Okay, yes.
Ben first. Right.
Yeah. He looks like a Bieber-esque boy band guy. Yeah.
Then Sandy.
Yep. She was hardworking. She does all the bank books.
Jonah next.
Yeah, Jonah,
right?
Probably Jonah next. Yeah, Jonah. Jonah dresses very smart.
Then, because you're last.
Yeah, I would definitely.
And then Mike. So we're down to Mike and
Josh.
Then Josh, Mike, you.
Yeah.
But what was that look on Mike's face when suddenly you're like, good luck with that. Like, I'm going to be having an ice cream sundae up here, sucker.
Not to bring it back to wrestling, but we were doing the Stone Cold Steve Austin flipping the bird on him.
Okay, as you just like, yeah.
As we're going into the sleeper pods.
Yeah.
To, like, go into our pleasure comas.
And he's in the middle seat.
Yeah, the middle seat. Like,
yeah.
I have to... We were on tour that same year in Australia. We were doing the tour with, like, Tenacious D and the Foo Fighters. And, like, Jack Black at the end of the tour comes into the room and he's, like, just talking to us. He's like, Damien, the crazy one. And he's like, send it. Playing the bass guitar. Mm-hmm. Josh, whittling away. Ben, whittling away. And then he looks at Mike. He goes, are you in the band?
She's like, yeah, I write in the songs, I kind of write those. Like, you've heard the songs, right? Because I'm the one who, like, figures that part out.
He was, like, watching us, too. He must have just, like, looked right through Mike the entire time.
Well, there's a point where he just, like, I've talked to people, like, when they're new to the band, and they're just like, well, see, the thing is that the one guy does the songwriting there, and they're just like, yeah, but it's a guy, it's Ben, right? He does the thing. Well, so, no, he does songwriting for a bunch of other things. He got, not for this thing. It's like, which guy? The guy who's way in the back? It's like, yeah, that's the guy. He's just like, he's so modest about that part of it in the live thing that's throws people.
Yeah, he doesn't do the lead guitar stuff. Like, he doesn't do like, like he does the lead guitar stuff, obviously playing, but I mean, he's not Angus Young, Like, he's not like, okay, I'm going to wear this outfit. Well, he definitely wears ridiculous clothes on stage. He's like Angus Young in that regard. Mm-hmm. But, he's not Angus Young in the sense that he's not, you know, doing the duck walk.
Yeah, he's not. Stage. Yeah.
He used to, though, when we first started, he would do things like walk on kids' heads in the crowd. And now, if he's wasted and trying to impress someone in the crowd, he will do, like, crazy things on stage, too.
But that's awesome. I like that it's a picking the moment kind of thing now. It's not just like, I guess I got to walk on these kids' heads now. He's not feeling it that night.
When I do a head walk across the stage.
Yeah. You know the band with their famous head walking guitarist? So what's up with the band now? The band, you guys did the tour.
Yeah, we did the Zodiac. Tour. We're doing Year of the Snake. We're playing Fun 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 Fest. Are you going to Fun Fun Fun?
No.
I want to get you. I want to see any festival bookers who listen to the best show. Let's see some Sharpling and Worcester festival dates.
Gauntlet that has been thrown down.
Choom.
Yes.
Because that would be fun. But we're playing Fun 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 Fest, and then we're playing Bose Oktoberfest, this thing with Always, who are a great band from here too.
Okay.
In the Ottawa area.
Okay.
And I think that's it for a while. Maybe a Toronto show too, probably. But then I've got a new baby coming.
Yeah. Got child number three.
Child number three.
Just insane.
Let me tell you another piece of advice to all you young people out there that are active in the sexual department. It can happen. That's all I'm going to say. It can happen.
It can happen. Mm-hmm.
So, but we're very excited. Amazing. We're very, very excited. And that's coming very soon. And
And then is there going to be a record? When would that happen? When would the next?
I think we're going to start writing one, hopefully in this break at some point, but not anytime soon.
Okay.
And just kind of, I think we're lucky. We're kind of at the point now where we don't have any obligations as far as a band.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can kind of, like, do it ourselves. We're going to start doing a 12-inch series really soon. Once again, maybe I should announce it. That's the, when you dropped the Canadian N-bomb earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should have said that, but who cares?
Yeah.
We're doing a 12-inch series. We're going to do some, like, old live 12, old sets on 12-inch.
Oh, wow.
And, like, some, we found, actually, when we were, like, little kids doing our first bands, all of us did different bands that were going to be on a compilation together. So Josh does vocals in this band called Youngblood, where he like screams like the blood. He destroyed his vocal cords. His scream was so blood curdling,
like
just shredded him. Like, because he was like 11 at the time in this band. And then Mike's old band Walls Around Us were on it, and my old band Promise Kept were on it. So we're going to put that out finally.
Wow. Oh, that's insane. That's yeah. awesome.
Yeah, it's probably going to be the worst record ever.
So there's going to be all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
And that'll be enough to keep it. And also, you guys have like 8 million things to listen to in the meantime.
Yeah. And you're the snake, too.
Yeah. So there's stuff and to listen to.
We got some other plans. We got definitely some big thing we're going to announce soon that we're really excited about. But we'll save that.
You did one already.
Yeah.
You tipped one too early tonight. That's enough.
But this one is pretty awesome. But we'll save it.
All right.
Just listen to the best show. Listen to Art of Wrestling with Colt Cabana, who's another fan of the best show.
Yeah. You think he would come on the best show?
I'd love that if he came on the best show.
I think Aiden English is going to call in the night.
Really?
We're going to figure that out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to get to some point where some wrestler just like, where I almost become like, it's like a meta version of a wrestling bad guy.
Yeah.
Cause I'm the guy who puts down actual wrestling. Like I'd be like the John Stossel of now, but in on it.
Yeah.
Right?
I want to see Hot Rock and Ronnie mm-hmm. as a manager and I want to see Tom as a mm-hmm. manager and I want to see them have wrestlers duke it out.
Has there ever been a character of a guy just being like, this wrestling stuff is like a guy like that in wrestling that gets knocked around by wrestlers.
Yeah.
Like what, like, but not saying this stuff's fake.
No, but there's been like network people.
Sure.
From like,
sure.
It's like one of the archetypes that they use is a network executive who doesn't necessarily like wrestling. It's like, oh, it's too violent or it's, oh, this is no one likes this stuff.
Sure.
Or, you know,
yeah, it's
Cyrus, I think, was the one.
The role of dad in the thing.
Yeah, and also because networks generally don't like the wrestling products at certain times, too.
No, it cycles through, and it's just sometimes it's, for places, it's just like, look, we're going to get numbers with this, but it's not the right people. Like, that's how they feel about it.
This year you have, obviously, not everything he did this year was positive, but Action Bronson, mm-hmm. referencing wrestling all the time. Mm-hmm. Mountain Goats putting out a concept record about pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And then you also have like all these other bands that are fans of wrestling, mm-hmm. you know, kind of existing. Bob Mould.
Yeah.
WCW.
Huge. Yeah.
And, it goes back to the Dictators, you know, on the cover of their first record.
Yeah. That was talked about this the stuff. White Castle and wrestling.
Yeah. White Castle and wrestling.
Which, funnily enough, you wouldn't want to wrestle someone who had just eaten White Castle. That might be. There's a lot of ways that could not be good.
Have you been to Superior Burger yet in New York?
No.
I think you might like it. They have a White Castle thing on the wall, but it's all vegetarian.
Okay.
And they it's run by Brooks from Born Against.
Oh, I heard about it. Yeah, I heard about it.
And it's like co-owned by Sweeney and Johan Kugelberg.
Okay, I'll check so that
that's
out.
That's like some like a,
I would.
Or they,
I, would,
I don't know if they co-own it with who else. Mm-hmm. There's a consortium, maybe.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Damien, the clock on the wall is telling me.
I just try to run into the clock to keep going because I'm living a fantasy right now.
Look, you're not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. You'll be when we're both in New Jersey. You come back on. You come in the studio.
Thank you, Tom.
We'll do it with phones.
And thank you, everyone, for letting me be on here with Tom.
Yes, and thank you to everybody who listened. And I think we'll do some live calls after this. Hopefully the gang is around. And if not, this is the end. But I think we're going to do it. So we'll keep it going. And everybody, thanks for listening. And remember, tickets go on sale Friday for Sharpling and Worcester Live. Toronto, Boston, and Philadelphia. So check that out. Thank you, Damien, for doing this. And thank you, Zach, for lending us your awesome home. Bye.
It is the best show with Tom Sharpling, who is actually on the line right now. Tom, you there?
Hello.
I am. How are you doing?
Tired. What's up, guys?
So,
how are you doing, Tom?
A great tour, and then you just announced more dates.
Yeah, how about that?
That's great.
Exciting.
Real exciting.
Toronto and Boston and Philadelphia.
Yeah, Mike and I were actually talking about road tripping to those.
That was
all of them?
probably Boston and Philly.
Yeah.
Or at least Toronto Philly.
Might be a problem.
Yeah, I don't think we could do that drive.
Might be a problem.
What do you mean? I have a passport.
Yeah, look, I believe it. I believe you might just not get back in the U.S. The Boston show, I think. Look, you might like it in Toronto.
Yeah.
Like,
never been there.
You would be, the people of Toronto would love it if a guy like you, an expat, right? Take your act.
Well, like you. Yeah, like you, I saw the Yonge Street thing on SCTV, and it sounded like a place I'd love to explore. Is it the same?
You'd be fine. You know, Yonge Street. If you've got New York City, you've seen Yonge Street. You'll be okay. Your mind's not going to be blown by Yonge Street.
It's not like old New York, though? I mean, New York isn't what it used to be.
No, but is that a bad thing?
I guess not, but, you know.
Did you appreciate it more in the more dangerous days?
I wouldn't say I appreciate it, but it sort of had a harder edge. And, you know, it wasn't all these chains, you know, Starbucks on every block and, you know.
I like that. It's convenient.
It's like a giant mall now.
New York.
Look. What are you? Don't worry, Mike. There's still places in New York you could get stabbed and get hit over the head with a pipe if you want.
Yeah.
You might just have to look a little harder. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, but don't worry. They're still out there. You can still get your clock cleaned if you want.
Yeah.
What's going on, guys?
Well, it's me in the studio, Jason Gore Dudio. Kristen Bartlett is in here with us as well as AP Mike. The phones are now live, so you can call 201-332-3484. Once again, 201-332-3484. And is a Canadian Slurpee really that much better?
It is, yeah.
Why?
It's much more refreshing.
Really?
I don't know. What am I, a technician here? What am I? Did I take it to the lab?
Sounded like a chunky soda to me. Didn't sound like there was enough ice in it.
Calm down. I'm telling you, it was better. You didn't get any brain freeze from that thing.
Oh, no brain freeze. All right. Well, that's a plus.
No, it just wasn't an. It wasn't a slush thing of ice. It went down a lot better.
All right, we have some calls coming in. I'm going to go ahead and put someone in with us. Hello, you're on the best show.
Hi.
Hello, you're on with me, Dudio, AP Mike, Kristen, and Tom on the phone as well.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, who's this?
This is Dan in Akron.
Mm-hmm. And what Akron, did you want to talk about tonight?
See, you can I'm
going to still do some call screening.
Okay, good.
What did you want to talk about tonight?
I thought you might like to hear the story of why Akron is going to have four mayors within 1 year here pretty soon.
What do you think, Tom Hammer?
What's that? Oh, what's this guy? Let's hear it.
Bring us up to speed on the Akron political scene.
Four mayors.
Okay. So we had the same mayor for 28 years. And then a few months ago, he got in a fight with the city councilman and believed that this councilman was going to try to shoot him at a speech. So he banned him from the speech and then resigned over the whole thing and how the local paper was reporting on it. So he basically kind of went crazy and resigned.
Well, he had 28 years, so...
Yeah,
he
that's
had a,
true.
Had a good run.
Yeah, he really did. So he was replaced by the head of the city council who served for 1 week. He resigned because he admitted to inappropriately touching a city employee.
All right.
Ooh, what happened there?
Yeah. Apparently, someone came to congratulate him on being promoted to mayor, and he said a congratulatory hug turned into a too personal moment.
Ooh.
That was his word.
Too long a hug.
Yeah.
Real weird.
Yeah, that's bizarre. So then a third mayor got appointed, and he's not running for mayor, so come November we'll elect our fourth mayor. And then it's sort of a postscript to that story. The mayor who had served for 28 years a couple weeks ago, he was cited for public urination on the University of Akron campus. Uh-huh. On a tree by the side of the road.
Okay, well, he's, you know, he's that's like a cap on a, you know, 28-year political career, and end it with that, you know.
He's kind of earned it.
It's like a you know, a nice little finale.
Hey, burn bright on the way out.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, he's playing the American territory, I guess.
Okay, well, I hope everything sorts itself out for you in Akron.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's LeBron James' hometown, so I think he should come and run next term, and then I think he'd be a shoo-in.
Any comments on Chrissy Hynde's book?
On her book?
Yeah.
Oh, I read a little bit about that. She was saying some kind of weird thing about, like, women. So that was unfortunate. She did have a good, like, vegan restaurant here, but it closed down.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you going to vote for? Is it just is the mayor just going to happen, or is he going to run unopposed? What's going to occur?
The primary election is today, which since a Republican mayor doesn't really have a good chance of getting elected here, it's basically the mayoral election. So, I mean, the two candidates are just kind of boring local politician types. Unfortunately, the former mayor, who's now peeing on trees, is not running.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you for the Akron update.
Yep,
somebody
thank
said
you.
I would hang up on myself. Connection. My phone muffled.
It's not the best.
Yeah, it's a little muffled.
Yeah, I'm calling from a different country. I can't help it. It's costing me $1 million. Dumb call. International. I'm so close to home. I'm broke. Damn. It's because of line, right, Mike? Just wow. Border.
You sound like you're heavily medicated.
I do?
Yeah, it's like...
I'm not heavily medicated. I'm on...
I'm just saying. That's what the phone can... Okay. The phone is sort of muffling, so yeah, you're not your true self.
Well, how about this? Is this better?
Yeah, that's a little better.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
A little better?
Yeah.
Oh. Guys, I don't know what to do, guys. I'm trying.
Uh-huh. I'm trying, we appreciate guys. That, Tom.
I slept 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sleeping anymore.
Mm.
Your old friend, you know, you better get that shovel ready, Mike. The moment you've been waiting for your whole time is on its way.
I had another opportunity. Another opportunity tonight. Jason left me alone in the studio again.
I
it was there. It was tempting.
It was for like 4 minutes. I set a timer. I don't leave him in here alone for more than 4 minutes.
That's too long, right?
That's enough for him. Damn it, he can do in 4 minutes.
Get in and do my thing. Yeah.
Spanish prisoner style. Whole place will be. Mike can get in and out of a place like that. Every piece of anything will be gone.
I had a couple of guests lined up sitting in the back of my car all evening, waiting for the time to bring them in.
Who were your guests?
Yeah, just a couple of guys.
Ocean Eddie? Who do you got back there? Ocean Eddie?
No, Ocean Eddie's having medical difficulties, and Joe Puppy's mad at me because I called Bar Rescue a dumb show.
What is Bar Rescue?
You've never seen Bar Rescue?
No.
It's like Kitchen Impossible with the bar.
Oh, yeah. For bars. Okay.
It's the worst show you ever seen. The host is a complete idiot. And he comes in and he just yells at people. I mean, every show is the same. He yells at the workers, you know, tells them how poor, what a poor job they're doing. And then he, you know, he whips them all into shape and he funnels a lot of money into the bar. So the place looks great at the end.
So he really, it turns around. He puts up like five flat screens.
Well, I mean, they get into the whole thing just because they know they're going to get all this money pumped, like a makeover for their bar. You know? So, I mean, who wouldn't do that? You know, it's like, but they have to take all this abuse first. You know,
but is it really fixing the bar at the end? Because did you read that article recently about Exhibit and Pimp My Ride, where most of those vehicles...
Those rides were never really pimped.
Yeah, they barely ran.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they don't do follow-ups on this show. It's not like Intervention, so you don't go back to the bar and see how they're doing, you know.
But when did the fight happen?
Well, he wanted to watch Bar Rescue. I put it on.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, every
you
once in a
while. Berated it while it was happening?
Yeah. I mean,
Was he really proud when it was on, or?
Well, no, I defer to my customers if they request something. You know, I put golf on, I put cooking shows on.
They request cooking shows?
Yeah, there's one guy who wants cooking shows on.
He likes the Pioneer Woman?
No, I don't think we played
her. Gianna?
Yeah, he likes Gianna. Okay. Yeah, everybody likes
She's single
Gianna.
Now.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
Oh, is she? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Big divorce.
Yeah.
Who's single now?
Gianna
De Laurentiis.
De Laurentiis.
I really? Like her, and she's having to spend a lot of money, and it's obnoxious. I hate that.
Got a lot of teeth in her mouth. Right? She's got a very big smile. It seems like she has like 40 teeth.
She does have a very beautiful 42 smile.
She's got TV teeth.
42 smile. Yeah. We met her. Jason and I met her at a Food Network event. And I was soaked in sweat because it was a meatball event.
Oh, yeah.
And
just meat sweats.
I had bad meat sweats, and I told her that.
The worst.
I was like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you did. You told Gianna De Laurentiis that you had the meat sweats.
As she was giving me a hug.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh,
but memories. I think she liked it. I think she was charmed.
Do you want to go to another call, Tom?
Well, I want to tell everybody, how's the connection now, first of all? Is it better?
Oh, it's good.
We can hear
that's
you.
A good. That's a good better. Connection.
Good, good. Look, guys, I did an ad read that Dudio pulled out of the show because it was half-hearted, because it was unfocused. It was for a movie called Two-Step, which I had not seen yet. I hadn't had a chance to see it, so I started to do. I did an ad read for it, and I was like, "I want to see this movie before I start talking about it, just because I don't want to." This guy's a listener to the show, Alex Johnson, Alex R. Johnson, the guy who wrote and directed it, and he wanted to support the show by taking an ad out on the show, so I was very flattered by that. But then I'm like, this movie's got great reviews, but I was like, I was talking about it without having seen it, and it just felt like I just felt like I was talking about something I didn't know what I was talking about. So I watched it last night, and I truly do think the movie's great. It's really kind of dark, and it's like a very minimal Texas crime movie with just a few characters in it, and it's really pretty intense and pretty brutal and really exciting, and I really did like it. I was very impressed by it, and I can actually say here that like these are things I had said in the ad that the movie actually. It's got 100% fresh rating at Rotten Tomatoes, and New York Times called it a nasty, flawlessly acted little gem that goes deep inside its character's psyches. And the Hollywood Reporter said that the movie makes most Hollywood thrillers seem ham-fisted by comparison. That's not the meat sweats, ham-fisted. That's similar to the meat sweats, I think, ham-fisted. So maybe you could tell Gianna De Laurentiis about your ham fist. You go to a ham event instead of a meatball event. Seriously, I thought the movie was really great, and I appreciate him supporting the show. And people can check the movie out, Two Step, on iTunes to buy or rent, on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, In Demand, Xbox, Dish Network, and more. And the trailer is up over at Vimeo, and you can check it out there. It's I'll put a link up on Twitter to the trailer. I did earlier today, and I'll do that again. And I truly recommend the movie Two Step if you want to see kind of like a – it kind of reminded me of Blood Simple in a lot of ways, like very kind of clean and dark and you know, super, super violent in bursts and very – it was a really good movie. So check out Two Step, and it's exciting that a guy like Alex Johnson is a fan of the show, somebody who makes good things like this movie. So, yeah, that's all. I just wanted to say that. And, so, yeah, that's that.
Sounds like a movie right up my alley, Tom.
I think you would, I really do think you would like it a lot. Mm-hmm. It's just got like four or five characters in it, and it's really kind of one of those things where it just like starts getting wound tighter and tighter, and the one character starts yelling. One of the characters starts yelling about Coors Light in the movie, and it was like, mm-hmm. I was like, "Wow, that is a if there was ever a movie custom made for AP Mike, it might be this scene in this movie because you know there's only one kind of Coors, it's Coors Light. I don't stock any other Coors."
And I know my DVD bootleggers will never get it, so I'll actually pay for this one.
Yeah, so everybody should check it out because mm-hmm. it's a legitimately good movie. So, the meat sweats. Is that the topic now that we're talking about?
I think it is. I think that's the new hashtag. The
I do appreciate the fact that Kristen, you now have joined me in the Patti Smith circle of shame.
I'm not ashamed. Encounter. That's the difference. I think that it was a good interaction.
Okay. Okay, fair enough.
I've way more embarrassed myself in front of celebrities. I called Vanilla Ice Mr. Ice. That's more embarrassing to me.
Yeah. Mr. Ice.
Yeah, I was trying to be.
He sounds like a supervillain. Well, look, I like Giada a lot, I guess, right? She seems very pleasant. Mm-hmm. She's always whipping up those desserts, right? Where it's like
Italian influenced.
Yeah, but it's also, it seems like, I don't know, some of those things, like, it's always weird when all of a sudden she's like, and then you just pour half a pound of brown sugar on top of this thing. Like,
yeah, I don't think she's not eating her food.
Yeah, well, that's a good, yeah, because like no other way to make that without just the four sticks of butter and the half pound of brown sugar.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what's up here? They have a candy bar called Coffee Crisp. Oh, my God.
Is it good?
It's so good. It's like a coffee-based candy bar.
Is it like a score bar?
Imagine. It's like a Kit Kat with a coffee twist.
Ooh,
I like that.
You should bring some back.
Yeah,
you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring some back. I'm going to go to the local. I don't know what it is here. What the convenience thing is. I'll get some Coffee Crisp. We'll have a giant Coffee Crisp party, and then we'll all get the Coffee Crisp sweats in the studio.
That's so great.
Sounds like a good sweat.
And none of us will be. We will all be proud to be bonded through our candy sweats. I don't like this arrow, though. Arrow's disgusting, I think. It's gross. I had one in San Francisco.
No.
It's gross. It's Coffee Crisp taking the taste of the low grade. That arrow tastes like coin, like those chocolate coins you get.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
A little like, plasticky.
Kind of the old people have. Like.
Oh, yeah. Old people love gold coins.
old people are gold chocolate coins wrapped in, like, it's like gelt. It's like gelt.
It's a lot of work to unwrap them. It's sort of like, yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It's not worth it.
An anticlimax.
Depression in the thing.
Yeah.
So what's up, Mike? What's been going on?
Had a scare yesterday. I was doing a fill-in for the Labor Day holiday. Very slow day at the bar. And I finished up my shift. I'm just getting ready to turn over the reins to my coworker. And this guy comes through the door. Young guy. He fit the profile. You know, it's bad that I profile Friends of Tom listeners. but I do. You know?
Okay. What is a profile? You got
to
say it.
That's the best way to profile.
White.
Okay.
Young. And I'm saying, 30s tops. I don't think I've had, let me preface this. I love when people come in to see me at Masses. I'm not degrading any of the people that have come in. They've all been great, And this guy, by all appearances, was a fan of the show from my perspective. Mm-hmm. Sure. He sat down.
Was he wearing a hoodie?
No. He was, he had like a, maybe even like a tie-dye type shirt on.
Oh,
and I'm like, okay, here we go, But I had to like put the money away from my shift, so I sort of went down in the basement and did what I had to do. And I hear him up at the bar, and he's kind of loud, And I'm like, oh boy, is this going to be a loud one? It's like, we got a winner here. And so then I go back, and I heard him say he bought a round for everybody, and it was only about four people there. At the time.
Mm-hmm. Not a big round.
I'm like, not a big round, but hey, it's something.
And
it's
still generous.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh wow, this guy's really going the extra, yard. And then I come back up, I'm getting my free beer from this guy. And then he starts talking, and then I'm like, oh, wait a second, this guy's like bombed. And then, he went out to have a smoke with one of the regulars. And as he was coming back in, I never noticed that there's like a sort of built-in detector of drunks at Masses. You have to step up to get into the bar. And this guy couldn't do that. And he started falling into the bar. And, me and the other bartender are already like flagging him down. It's like, okay, you're done, And, he turned out to be a local guy who lost his job. He'd been working 17 years, and apparently he was taking it out at the bars before he got to our bar.
You just wrote a new Springsteen song.
He really shouldn't have been buying people around.
Yeah. Well, so, we flagged him, and, he started putting up a little bit of a fuss. We calmed him down, and then he left, and that was that. But yeah, I should stop profiling.
So he wasn't a fan.
He wasn't a fan. He was a local guy.
He lost his job after 17 years. He thought he looked 30.
Well, it sounded, he's like in mid-30s tops.
Well,
he may
have started his job at 13 there.
It sounded like he had a,
that's bailing.
Like,
rules.
Guy out of high school, 18, 17 years, he's 35.
See, that's what happens when we make prejudgments.
Yeah, no, I learned a lesson. I did.
A lesson.
Yeah. There was a moral to that story. People think I'm into all this depraved stuff and. I'm not. Oh. I'm a regular guy.
Ah, you're salt of the earth.
You got morals.
Yeah. You go to the green quick check and stay on just like anybody else.
Yeah, I do.
Which one's your favorite quick check?
I've sort of, depending on where I am when I'm ready for a quick check stop, I've been to all three of them. There's three actually in Bayonne. The one that Tom's familiar with is a good one, but the other two aren't bad either.
Uh-huh.
One is right near, actually two of them are right near bars, so they get a lot of post-bar activity, which has got to be tough on the employees.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
a lot of people trying to soak that booze up real fast for the sandwich.
A lot of confusion at the sandwich screen where you have to create your sandwich.
Do they do sandwiches 24 hours or something
like
that?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's gonna be terrible. In that situation.
Yeah, no.
What am I gonna do, guys? Guys. What about me? So tired.
You'll be back here next week, right?
Yeah, I will. I don't sleep anymore. All I do is work, and I just...
You need to get some melatonin. Body. Mm-hmm.
No, but I don't have time to sleep. I don't have time.
This isn't healthy.
That's too much to do. It's not like I can't sleep. My body's begging to go to sleep. Uh-huh. But I got too much work to do. Got too much work to do. Oh, Mike, help me.
Help you're doing
me,
it for
Mike.
The people.
I never thought I'd say that.
You're doing it.
I never thought I'd say that. This is the truth.
All right, let me try and boost you up.
You call that a Rubicon, right? You're
doing it for the
Rubicon?
People, Tom.
Yeah, it's 100% a Rubicon.
A Rubicon, right?
Yeah.
What's that mean? What's a Rubicon? I didn't go to a fancy school. What's a Rubicon?
He's looking it up on
looking
Google.
It up.
Yeah.
Jason's looking
up. Past the point of no return. Yeah, it's like.
Yeah. I think it's, along those lines.
So you think
the
I'm
final,
doing it
the final battle. The final battle.
The final battle. This might be my Rubicon.
Maybe when, remember when Springsteen. I'm reading that Bruce book. That you gave me a couple of years ago. Did you ever read that, Tom?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
is it good?
I'll bring it in when I'm done. You'll enjoy it.
Okay.
But I mean, you're familiar with how crazy Springsteen was when he was making "Born to Run" and then "Darkness on the Edge of Town." How he would go for that perfect snare drum sound, and it would take him about 160 takes to get it right, and all that. And then they discover there's something wrong with the studio. That type of stuff.
Yeah.
So you're saying Tom's searching for that perfect snare drum sound?
Yeah, Tom's in that same mind space, he's just trying to, get his Born to Run out there.
You have no idea what you're talking about. you couldn't be more off target.
And along those lines, Tom, all about Mike Appel, is that how you pronounce his name? Mike Apple?
Yeah.
Mike Appel. That was Springsteen's first manager. And he was a complete nut, right? But that nut, basically made Springsteen. I mean he got him the audition with John Hammond just by pestering the guy. Basically, just calling him all every day practically, So it's like, have you ever thought of getting a crazy manager?
I want someone like that.
Become your
sort
of
Knight.
Yeah,
I want like Suge Knight
or a Peter Grant.
I want Suge Knight. Peter Grant's no longer with us. Studio, come on.
I'm saying a Peter Grant type.
Oh, a Peter Grant. I really wanted to like conjure.
No,
him.
I don't think you can get Peter Grant anymore.
Then we have the ghost of Peter Grant hanging around the studio.
Still would be a great manager,
punching people out.
Was swinging around his ghost cane. Then we talk about that's another cane rocker, Peter Grant. Damien and I were talking about cane rockers. Peter Grant and Dawn on Twitter suggested, of course, Ginger Baker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ginger Baker was a huge cane rocker. He beat that guy who did the documentary about him with the cane. Remember that?
Yeah, that's an amazing shot, and really early on in the film.
Yeah.
The only problem with Ginger Baker, man, that Cream was not a good band.
Yeah, I can never really get into them.
They weren't that good. Yeah, because they weren't that good. That's why. They weren't that good. That's why. He's always moaning about John Bonham. Ginger Baker. He wasn't fit to Harry, John Bonham's jock, Ginger Baker. Sorry for my coarse language. I apologize. I know there are ladies present, mm-hmm. so So I apologize, Kristen.
Thank you. I really appreciate
that. This is sailor talk now.
Yeah, it's real salty.
I'm offended.
I apologize for the sailor talk.
Thank you.
Well, yeah. It does, but he wasn't fit to carry his jock. Ginger Baker was just moaning about. All Cream did was moan about Led Zeppelin. Jack Bruce moaning about Robert Plant. You got Ginger Baker moaning about John. You don't see anybody Led Zeppelin moaning about anybody in Cream. They knew they were cleaning their clock. They knew they wasn't even a fair fight. Cream. Oh. Right?
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that one. Never really got me excited.
Yeah. Too bluesy. The worst side of the blues. Cream. What am I going to do, Mike? I'm so tired. So tired. There's so much work to do. There's so much work to do. I'll do it. I'm not chasing my Born to Run right now. I'm lunch pailing it, man.
Lunch pailing it, okay.
I'm lunch pailing it. I got to get home. Get me home.
Are you
tired.
Flying down?
What's that?
Are you flying down?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I was going to ask you to pick me up.
I'm around.
Pick me up at the border.
I'm 10 minutes from the airport. I could. You know, this might be my new Uber thing. You could be my first customer.
Mike's Uber.
If you had your own Uber.
I'm going to, you know, it's off the books. You know, everything I do is going to be off the books, you know.
Mike's off the book rumor.
Hey, right. I'm looking for new revenue streams.
I'm telling you, I'm watching this. I'm in this hotel. I was flipping the channel, and I start watching for the first time in about 4 years. Storage Wars.
Oh yeah,
is on. And I'm seeing this. I'm just like, why is this thing still on? they expose the whole thing is being fake. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That guy Dave said it was all fake, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's back on the show now.
Are you serious? I was going to ask you, who's the cast now?
It's that one gorilla is on the show. The one with his the one who looks like the guy from Blade Runner, who's like time to die. you know that guy?
The tank tops. Yeah. The guy with the tank tops.
The guy with the tank tops. Then the other one, Jared and Brandy, they're still on it.
They're still together?
They still are.
That's the bigger chunk.
The love that stands the test of time, Kristen.
I mean, that's a
Jared and Brandy.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, I never would have pictured that.
Yeah, I think we need to really celebrate the fact that they have stayed together. Well, despite
they're a team too.
They're a real team getting in. All of those dirty boxes.
Yep.
And cleaning them out.
Yeah. Inhaling mold spores. And opening boxes. The number of tetanus shots that they have had to get. Can you imagine the things that have jumped out of those boxes they've opened?
I know. There are definitely animals.
Yeah. Imagine the box they opened and suddenly a rat jumps out. Right?
That's happened way more than once.
There's no way they have not been bit by rats, those two. Like, just
they
hanging out
together.
In storage lockers. But then Dave, I was just reading online, Dave slipped out and assaulted the auctioneer.
What?
With the guy It kind of looks like a Bizarro Brian Dennehy.
Yes, exactly. He shoved him, and then his wife, the woman who says "pay the lady,"
very
maternal, like,
jumped on his back.
Oh my gosh!
Dave shoved her off.
What?
Yeah. So there's like, but meanwhile, Barry's been gone for like 2 or 3 years. He had his own show that bombed. He had a show called Buried Treasure.
Oh, my God.
How is buried spelled?
just like Barry, but then with a like the punked style D.
That's every second more horrifying than the last.
Oh yeah. Man, I wanted it Barry, spelled like that.
Yeah, buried treasure, and that flopped. And then now there's this guy Ivy on the show, and then there's a woman, another woman on the show who I guess they tried to fill the slots of Barry, and I don't know. It's like, why is this thing still on? It's so fake. It's driving me nuts. Like a good the one gorilla dude who's his name? The shaved ape guy on the show.
I can't remember his name.
Daryl? Is it
Daryl? Daryl, yeah, definitely.
I was going to say, I remember his son was Brandon.
Yeah, Daryl's the son. Daryl and his son. Is the son still on?
Yes, the son is still on.
Oh, man. And he's got to go to college.
No, he's never going to college.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, the only way he goes to college is if they find some encyclopedias in one of these storage lockers or some textbooks. That's his idea of college.
An 80s world book set.
Yeah, exactly. And some weird AP science books and stuff. And here's your college, Storage Wars U.
That's how college in a box. Wars.
Yeah, college in a box. Yeah.
Here's your book learning.
So he found all these video games, and then he was like, he took them to the store, and the guy's where it said, these are worth like $3,000. And then he goes, you want to flip for it? And then he goes, the guy behind the counter goes, yeah, well, how much are we going to flip for? He goes, if I win, I get $5,000. If you win, it's $5. It's like, what planet is there that kind of, would anyone ever suggest that kind of swing for a bet? 5,000 or five?
I think all laws should just defer to flip for it.
Yeah, exactly. Flip for it. We're going to flip for it.
All right.
Yeah.
Flip for
America
it.
Reverts to a flip for it justice system. You're in court. Yeah, flip for it. What do you want to do? Well, I'll flip you for it. Heads, you get the death penalty. Tails, you're free, and I give you my car. And you get the judge's car to go on a rampage. Like, that's the flip for it. Do you ever flip? What's the most you've ever flipped for it, Dudio?
I don't, maybe $5. I think that's probably the...
My brother always wants...
He always flips for it?
He always wants you to flip for it. It's the worst.
Even today, he still flips for it.
Even today, he'll come out and I'll flip you for it.
Yeah.
No.
He'll say to you, Kristen, he'll say, I'll flip you for it.
He says that today. He's 6 years older than me. For a very long time, he maintained control.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would...
The big brother complex.
Big brother.
Yeah.
I would always flip for it.
Yeah.
Now.
And then, was there a day where you're just like, you know what, I hate flipping for it?
Yeah. I'll tell you when. College. I went to college. I came home. No more. I will not flip for it anymore.
Yeah.
You
felt stronger.
Yeah.
You were empowered.
I had agency.
Did he give you a look?
Yeah.
Like.
Oh, no. He, like, keeps it up.
Yeah.
He still thinks you can.
The day you said to him you weren't going to flip for it anymore, what was the look like on his face?
He lost. He lost all power.
He was an illusion, right? The power was an illusion.
It was never real.
Do you find you hate coins because of it?
I hate coins. I hate straws. I hate drawing straws.
You had to draw straws also?
Yeah. Yeah, we had to draw straws.
Let's draw straws for it.
You burnt the match? I never understood that one. The match.
What is the match?
It's like the short stick, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Is that what it is?
It's like drawing straws, right? It's the shortest
match. Matches, yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Mike? Flip for it? When was the last time you flipped for it?
I haven't flipped. I haven't flipped for it, but...
You haven't flipped for it ever?
No, not lately. No, in years. I can't think of one, a recent one. I mean, you know, when you started talking about flipping, you know, I thought of my guys and, you know, their gambling habits. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they just want to get it right down to basics and flip a coin for $20, you know. It's like...
Mm-hmm. That's the most desperate gambling.
No, these guys will bet on anything. They bet on The Price is Right, you know, the finale of The Price is Right. I put on Drag Racing by accident on Sunday, right?
And they bet on The Price is Right, like on Plinko.
Yeah. They bet who's going to win. It's like flipping a coin because there's only two people there, right? So,
God, I love
so
this
right
place.
Away that you know they start betting on that. And yeah, I put on Drag Racing by accident. ESPN had some Drag Racing on, and it was about 5 minutes before somebody realized, hey, wait a second, we got two cars. Which you want, the green one or the black one? You know. And then they're off to the races.
I thought this was
going to
be about RuPaul's Drag Race. I legitimately thought that's what you were talking about.
That they flip for it on RuPaul's drag.
It took me so long to realize this was cars.
No, this is real drag racing.
Mike, if you put on RuPaul's Drag Race.
They will find a way to bet on that, too, I bet you.
And they'd bet on it.
Yeah.
There's going to be a clear winner. So, yeah, that's an easy thing to bet.
How fast they get the remote away from Mike is what they bet on there. Right, Mike?
Yeah, no, I mean, I do control the television.
So this is what I was thinking. Think about this. Here are the factors. Factor one, Mike is looking for a new thing, right?
Yeah.
Factor two, I'm falling apart. I need a thing.
All right.
Factor three, since in the last couple of years, we've welcomed to the family, Mike and I have welcomed Dudio and Kristen are now a part of the squad. So here is what I'm thinking. Staten Island garbage rats. Dudio and Kristen can be the Jared and Brandy of Staten Island garbage rats.
Yeah, okay.
I would love
maybe
to.
That's what we were missing the whole time, right?
Yeah. And right? I saw a photograph online of the speaking of Staten Island, the Impractical Jokers. I guess just did a triumphant mm-hmm. Staten Island tour where they're on top of a tour bus and they're just mm-hmm. meeting their masses.
What, like a ticker tape parade?
Some sort of Staten Island event that they had, and,
mm-hmm.
and they're just celebrating their glory. On ripping off.
Up and down Highland Boulevard, where they
candid camera, you know, and they're just rejoicing.
But what do you think about that, Mike? We get those guys to executive produce it, right?
Mm-hmm.
From the guys who brought you, brought you Impractical Jokers, Staten Island garbage rat,
mm-hmm.
right?
It's a connection.
It'd
yeah.
be like, and to be like, I'm Mike. And I'm gonna clean up. I know there's some good picking to be done at the dump, right?
Yeah, fresh skills. Like, that's the name of the dump, the big dump. Fresh skills. Great name for a dump.
Fresh kills.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's a mountainous area in Staten Island. It's closed now, right, Tom? They finally
I think it is.
It reached full capacity. This dump, mm-hmm. but it was getting all of New York City's garbage, right? Wasn't that?
Yeah,
it was being trucked
all
in. And there's literally a giant mountain of New York City garbage mm-hmm. that you know. Finally, they closed down. It reached its full capacity mm-hmm. of garbage, and so and I'm sure it's Staten Island's proud that they have this mountain.
And you can find really nice things there.
Well, no, you're going to find garbage, but I guess that's why we're desperate. You know, we're digging. You know, we're like.
Desperate and digging.
Like Daniel Lewis and...
Wait, okay, how about this?
There will
this?
Be blood.
How about this? One man's...
Do you remember the... Go ahead, sorry.
One man's trash is our trash. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Wait, let me process that. One man's trash...
is our trash.
Is our trash.
That's our slogan, our tagline.
That's what Jason and mine will be.
Oh, that's what we say when the camera's on us.
Yeah.
And we go like back to back.
Yeah, it's about giving them something that they don't expect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, and look, one of the things is we're going to have to make this thing as fake as any of these other shows, so we might as well start staging some of these things, right? Like, I think Mike needs like a sidekick, like an animal sidekick, right? So, what would you think about a monkey?
A monkey,
right?
Yeah,
like it's you and this monkey digging through garbage together at Sunset Island, and you're like,
"How about hey. can I get a chimp?" Chimps have a little more personality as far as...
We'll make it a chimp.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Mike and a chimp.
Yeah. All dressed up,
you've got a chimp. You dress them up in an outfit you found.
Yeah.
Some weird baby suit you found. Right?
Yeah.
In the dump.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just like, check under that box. And then he's like flipping the box over and... Mm-hmm. So, like, hold on a second. What's that? And his name should be like,
How about Cuddles?
Cuddles? Okay. Cuddles.
Cuddles and Mike.
Cuddles the chimp.
Hey, Cuddles.
I like that. Cuddles. What's I can't believe that Cuddles would get, top billing over a Mike.
Yeah.
Cuddles and Mike?
Yeah. No, everybody loves
it's
a
chimp.
Mike
and
everybody loves
Cuddles
a chimp.
And Mike, yeah.
Has a better ring.
Cuddles and Mike or Mike and Cuddles. It's going to be Cuddles and Mike.
So he'll go like, Mike will go, Cuddles, check under that box. And go, oh, my God. And then the Staten Island Garbage Rats logo goes up. Right at the commercial break. So it'll be... Studio and Kristen are the couple digging through trash together, right?
Yeah.
It's Mike and Cuddles.
Cuddles and Mike.
Cuddles and Mike. Sorry, I didn't want to. Sorry, Cuddles. I didn't mean to insult this non-existent chimp who for 1 second didn't get top billing over Mike.
He's testy about it.
I mean, you need to be careful. They'll bite.
Yeah. And then Mike can also do, like, things with, like, the Cuddles cam, right? Maybe Cuddles has, a little camera, like, mounted to his tool belt or whatever. And then...
Oh, my God. Peeta like, will come after you.
And Cuddles is always trying to eat the garbage, and I'm trying to pull it away from him, you know?
No, Cuddles,
like,
no.
Yeah.
Like a rare first edition of Hemingway's The Sun Also Rises, you know? No, you can't eat that, Cuddles.
Giant bite mark out of it, yeah. But you could also send Cuddles into, like, to, like, see what's going on with, like, the other teams, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I think they're doing pretty good over there in that over in the section... Section 8 over the garbage dump. You send Cuddles over. You put like a trash bag over his head. It looks like he's just like a bag blowing around at the dump. But he's spying on the other teams.
And Cuddles is naturally he's a better climber than me. So he can go up those steep cliffs, that are, hard to scale,
Kristen, honey.
Trash cliff.
Kristen, honey, do you see a bag of trash floating around over there?
Wait, and then suddenly you'll be like, and then you guys will be like, hey, where did that David Johansen album, that David Johansen gold record that we found? Mm-hmm. In Fresh Kills, where's that? And then you see Cuddles scampering off with it and bringing it over to Mike's pile.
This is all I want to see now.
He'll be a fan favorite.
See?
This is all I want to live now.
Exactly. It's all you want. I don't want you watching it. I want you being it. Yeah, we'll get you on there, and then we'll get, I guess I'll have to have a team, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know who I want on my team. Pat Byrne, Pat, I guess we'll have a team, right?
You'll be you and Gary the Squirrel.
No, it's not going to be me and Gary the Squirrel. It's weird.
Gary could be berating you through the whole thing.
Well, Pat Byrne will be like the young, like he's like the heartthrob of that garbage rat.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
He's like the young idealistic guy on the show.
All of Staten Island's teen mags will love him.
Mm-hmm. Who would be, Staten Island teen beat will flip for him. I got to figure out the other hook with you, Mike, is that you're also like the, for lack of a better term, the S-House poet, right?
Yeah.
Like you find these books, like suddenly you'll find like a copy of like No Exit, and you'll start just reading passages from it, right?
Yeah.
Just like, and you'll just do soliloquies.
Mm-hmm. They're bringing the reality show to a new level.
Yeah, amongst the trash, you'll do soliloquies. Just your poetry.
Mm-hmm.
You're reading the stuff, and you're just talking to Cuddles about the significance of
Schopenhauer.
What's his face? Of Schopenhauer. Yeah, you talk to him about that.
Yeah,
what's the guy? What's the L.A. The bum, the
Bukowski?
Bum from L.A.
Yeah,
Bukowski.
Yeah, I'm like, not a fan.
Now, but that's what you'll say to Cuddle.
Yeah,
you'll say like, "Did you like that?" You'll read like a passage. You read some Bukowski, and then you'll say, "Did you like that, Cuddles?" And Cuddles will like screech, and then you'll be like, "Well, you shouldn't."
It's garbage.
You
throw it back in
garbage,
the
Cuddles, and you throw the book at him. And then, I think this could work, right?
Yeah.
Staten Island garbage rats.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
Well, you fleshed it out.
When it was just me and you, Mike, it was missing something.
It was.
But now I think the Dudio Kristen element adds like a lively, optimistic spirit to it.
Yeah.
Because, but you and Cuddles are kind of like, it's like, some might see it as like the end, like it's like the end times, seeing like this guy and a monkey walking through piles of trash. It's like a boy and his dog, right?
Yeah.
It's like, did the apocalypse happen? And these are the only two souls left?
What if Cuddles turns out to be a robot?
Well, that's just silly.
Yeah, robots don't eat trash.
But I do think that Pat should drive some sort of like dirt bike through the garbage heaps, right?
Mm-hmm.
He should have like a Fonzie quality to him.
All right.
Like he's driving like a motorcycle that he found in the dump that he like brought back to life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his garbage chopper.
Mm-hmm. And he's driving over the mounds like Steve McQueen in The Great Escape.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I should just be the host of this thing.
No, you got to be in it.
I don't know. I think I could be good, though. It would be like, all right, garbage rats, you got a busy week. And maybe each week there's something hidden out there for you guys to find, right?
Mm-hmm. Like $20 bill.
Like a scavenger hunt element,
mm-hmm.
like with a little bit of a mystery, kind of like, this, on its face, this thing is right twice a day, or some puzzle like that. And then it'll be like Mike and Cuddles, like, what is it? What is it? And then Cuddles will hold up a clock. Mike will be like, yes, it's a clock. And then there'll be corpses also. That's the other thing we need to talk about. There'll be a regular supply of corpses spread all throughout the show.
And what if Cuddles, at the in the end of the first season, the episode, he turns to me and says, "Mama, mama."
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Looks like a Planet of the Apes kind of thing.
I think that just canceled our show.
Well, it might be, you know, cross-market the show. Yeah, to the sci-fi crowd.
Cross-market to what?
The sci-fi crowd.
Sci-fi crowd?
You're going to cross-market it to the sci-fi crowd. I got to say, Mike, that's a brilliant idea. I'm moving that forward. We're going to add a weird post-apoc, a vibe that you thought you were just watching a reality show, then people would be like, wait, is this taking place after, like, a nuclear war or something? Like it'll actually be a part of the fabric of the show.
The head spinner. People's heads will be spinning at the end of the episode. Leave them guessing.
That's exactly it. And then next thing you know, we'll be the ones having a parade on Staten Island.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The Impractical Jokers will be watching us from the side of the road.
So we're near the end here. We have one caller that has held on for quite some time. Do you want to take him?
Yeah. Yes, please.
All right. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. Hey. Oh, my God. I just wanted to ask. So when Tom finally croaks at the mic, are AP Mike and Cuddles going to have to flip for it?
That's a pretty good question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Who is this?
This is Jacob.
Jacob? Do I know you, Jacob?
I called into the show a little while ago about how auditions sucked, and you really helped me out, Tom. You made me realize I don't have an elevator pitch, and I'm working hard to do that.
All right. Look, but, you might have a place on Staten Island Garbage Rats. That might be your home. I want you to send me.
Oh, my God.
Go to your local. Big. This is what you do. Go to your local dump and get a friend to film you crawling through the trash at the dump trying to find stuff.
With a spoon in your hand.
With a spoon in your
hand. Can I have an animal sidekick too?
No, that's Mike's thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's his shtick. Okay.
What are you trying to steal? Mike's
funny hat or something.
Mike's gimmick?
I'm not going to.
Maybe you have a guy who doesn't talk with you, or something. Like, like a guy who just doesn't say anything, nods a lot, and
and somehow I'm the straight man.
Yeah, you're the straight man. Exactly. So we'll make this. I think we're off to a good start here. Staten Island Garbage Rats. I'm gonna take the whole team to L.A. We're gonna start pitching this thing. I'll walk everyone into the room. Guys, this is the show. I want to introduce you to the cast of Staten Island Garbage Rats. Come on in, guys. Wouldn't that be the greatest and worst moment of your lives?
Would Cuddles already be with Mike?
We'd have to get the chimp early.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd have to get Cuddles. We're gonna have to.
You can't sell it.
Pull the trigger on buying a chimpanzee, apparently. So, unless we can find one at a dump.
Plus, you're gonna need a handler. You're gonna need a chimp handler.
The handler.
Yeah, no, that's you.
That's your job.
I'm not trained in that.
You better go to the Bayonne Library and get a book on controlling chimps.
Chimp college.
You're gonna be. Because you're also handcuffed together. I guess I didn't mention that part. you and Cuddles are handcuffed together. Mm-hmm. Not like a short handcuff. I mean more like chains, like the prison, like Oh Brother, Where Art Thou kind of style, mm-hmm. Like ankle chains.
Yeah. Okay.
Suddenly, you seem to have lost your enthusiasm for this.
No, I'm trying to think of the backstory. the backstory of why we're chained. I mean, did we escape from jail? Is that going to be left an open question?
The key is somewhere in the dump.
What if we find the key first?
Well, then you have all the bargaining power in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With these two guys. I love it. I think the... Sorry, Mike, you're chained at the ankles with the chimpanzee. It's just too tantalizing to not push forward as a thing, because the key is somewhere. Yeah, and you'll just be like, this key is somewhere in this dump. Where did it go?
And I have to find an anvil and a sledgehammer to break the chain.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Or you try and it's unbreakable.
Mm-hmm.
Only the key will break it. Mm. Look, you're the one who pushed for these sci-fi elements. I'm only building out on what you started.
Uh-huh.
You're the one who wants Cuddles to talk at the end of this first season. So Cuddles can just all of a sudden go, the end of the first season, Cuddles goes, you want him to say mama? Is that what you want?
Yeah. Yeah. Like the end of Escape from the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Mama.
So that's what,
mama.
That's what Cuddle says.
Yeah. That keeps happening.
Oh, I don't like it.
We're pushing this forward. You guys better figure out your... you guys, I'm going to tell you now. If you're smart, you'll go to the local uniform shop and start... seeing what sort of jumpsuits look good on you, because you're going to wear those janitor onesies.
I think I'll go for a blue chambray.
All right. Calls costing me way too much money.
All right.
Guys, thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate it so much, and I hope you guys had fun. This was a lot of fun to talk to you guys this week. And normal best show next week.
Mm-hmm.
Back in studio, getting it back to normal.
All right.
The Tom on the road will stop very shortly.
But you have more shows coming up.
Yeah, but I don't have to go. I don't have to be away forever for that stuff.
Right.
So, Dudio, thank you. Kristen, thank you. And of course, AP Mike, thank you.
Okay, Tom.
I appreciate it. I'll talk to you guys later. And everybody listening, thanks for listening. And again, check out the movie Two Step, which you can get on. Also, all sorts of places, iTunes, Google Play, Xbox, so many more places. Check the trailer out on Vimeo, and I put a link to it up on my Twitter. It's a great movie. And Sharpling Worcester tickets go on sale this Friday for Toronto, Boston, and Philadelphia in November and December. You can check the tickets out over at stereolabs.com/tour. And anything you guys need to mention or plug?
The next Bridge and Huddle show is coming up on September 19th at the People's Improv Theater at 9:30. That's Saturday the 19th at 9:30.
Okay. And that's Dudio, Jace, a.k.a. Jason, and Kristen, their long-form sketch comedy troupe.
Yes.
Not improv. I don't want to get yelled at again.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry about that.
You really went off.
No, don't be sorry. You were right.
I was mean.
I was insulting.
Yeah. I was shouty. I was wrong.
No, you were right to... You. First of all, you didn't yell. I'm pretending. It's a game within the game, Kristen. You didn't yell. And Mike, your people can buy your stuff over at apmike.bandcamp.com, and they should definitely get your songs, Michael Perry, or your children's book.
And next week, we're going to have a new song.
We'll have the new song next week.
Yeah.
Huge. huge.
And next week there's a new song. And
it's ready to drop, this, as Mike, they say.
No joke, when I was in Los Angeles, I was talking to a couple friends, who people who you know.
Okay.
Who are fans of the show, and they were like, I listened to Mike's, the book Mike read, I mean, the book Mike wrote that Charlie Morgan read, and they're like, Mike can really write.
Mm-hmm.
They were 100% serious.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, he's very talented. So people should go to your Bandcamp, buy the stuff, dollar minimum, but pay more than a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And my offer still stands. I did it once, $100.
Yeah.
Anybody... Here, okay, now we're raising the bar. $150. If anybody bought a song for $150,
wow.
I'll match $150. I'll buy it for $150 also.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody does it, you know you're going to get me to match it.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Challenge has been thrown out.
I appreciate it, Tom.
Of course, Mike. Thank you so much, everybody. And we'll be back next week. And that's all. Good night.